Blog Talk Radio.
Well, pleasant good evening to all of you out in Radio Land. I'm sure my brother here is on with me. Dennis, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon to you, Leon. I'm here sitting a little despondent watching the West Indies getting it in the neck once again, but I'll keep my fingers crossed.
All right. Well, I too am doing the same. I was so much nervous, you know, to see your old batters go there and just, I say, can they just play out the innings? But before we do that, let's do this because we missed this point.
Good evening and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket.
Yes, we shall talk cricket. With me online is my friend, Dennis Heath. Dennis, just want to tell the listeners also that we are indeed monitoring the scores, West Indies versus Pakistan. And sure, some of you might be surprised to hear what's going on. But nevertheless, what's up in your neck of the woods, Dennis?
Well, today it's Sunday, but we've had a very balmy afternoon here, or morning session, really, because normally we're, you know, fighting triple-digit heat, but at this point we're now looking at a very cool 79 degrees. So we are very happy for that because we're still having a lot of fires burning north of us where we are. Otherwise,
okay.
Looking forward to an entertaining show today.
Yes, yeah, I am indeed. Well, let's tell the folks up with the scores. Pakistan declared 302-9. West Indies are presently 24-2. The two openers are gone. Yes, one Bradford and Powell. Powell LBW and Bradford was comprehensively bowled for 4 and 5 respectively. But nevertheless, the show must go on, and we shall just give God thanks for us being here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you allowing us to have another show. We pray you just continue to bless us as we prepare this evening's show and let it go on without any interruptions whatsoever. Despite our numerous setbacks, Lord, we are still here and we are hopeful that you will just bring us through another evening. We pray especially for our ailing brothers and sisters, especially my dear wife, Eunice, Dr. Leroy Lashley, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Mertis Nisbet, Alcomita Willett, Wentworth Francis, Telbert Francis, and Dennis Kelman, as well as I, Silma Cornelius, Austin Otto, Joseph Gunthrop, Alpheus Philip, Willis and Mona Daniel, Kelma Williams, Dr. Roger Brown, Earl Stevens, Judith Bird, Conrad Williams, Alric Morgan, Sonia Sargent, and Gwen Williams. And all those who have not expressed their concerns, Lord, we pray for them. Heal them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. Bring them back to their normal selves so they can continue to do your work. And we pray especially for the ones who are contributing to the show to make it possible to be heard year in and all year, all these 11 years, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and especially pray that this show will go on without any interruption whatsoever. Your precious name we pray. Amen. We are still at 24-2 West Indies, and I just monitor the scores as we go along. And, of course, Dennis, why don't you give us a little bit of what is happening in the minor leagues? I know you have a passion for that sport, and we are going to get two wonderful guests as well. So why don't you share the scores?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. What is your last comment?
Yes, I say, why don't you share with our listeners what's up in the minor league? And then I'll go into the other portion of this.
Yes. Sure, Liam. And I in getting to my numbers, I want to say a good welcome, happy welcome to Donna. I think Donna has joined us.
Welcome to Donna.
As many of our listeners may be aware, the Toyota Minor League has been taking place for the last 4 weeks. Today, this weekend is the fourth weekend, and we have seen some very thrilling and exciting cricket matches. And today, I can give you just a little details about the four-week standing in some of the divisions. So we'll start off with the week four standing in the Southern Division, where we have the... Now, we should remember that we're speaking of matches played last weekend, not matches played this weekend. So for matches played last weekend, this week four standing, we have in the Southern Division, Morrisville Cardinals, top of the table with 16 points. Atlanta Fire bringing up the second place with 8 points from three matches. Orlando Galaxy third in the table, 4 points from three matches. Fourth in the table is Florida Beamers, points from five matches. Number six in that table, we have Fort Lauderdale Lions that played two and they have lost both. Atlanta Param Bears have played three matches, and they've lost all three matches. So that's the table for the Southern Division. Now, if we look at the teams in the Eastern Division, we have New Jersey Stallions played seven matches, and they're top of the table with 20 points. Manhattan Yorkers, four matches, they have 16 points. Third in the table, we have the Seahawks, played seven, have 16 points, having lost three matches. New Jersey Somerset Cavaliers, they are fourth in the table, having played six matches and have 12 points. The Philadelphians have played six matches, and they've won three and lost three, and they have 12 points. Empire State Titans played four, won two, lost one, 10 points. New England Eagles played six. They've won two, lost four, and they have 8 points. And now we go to the Central Division. They have Houston Hurricanes, played seven, won six, first in the table with 24 points. Second in the table, we have Austin Athletics, played seven, won five, lost one, 22 points. Third in the table, Michigan Cricket Stars, played six, won three, lost two, won no decision, 14 points, third in the table. Irving Masters are fourth, they've played six, 1-3, lost 2, 1, no decision, 14 points total. Fifth in the table, St. Louis Americans played 6, 1-2, lost 4, they have 8 points. 7, Chicago Blasters played 6, 1-1, lost 4, and 1, no results, 6 points. Chicago Catchers played 6. They've lost all six, and they're bringing up the table with 0 points. Now, if we look at the Western Division, this is the final division. Top of the table, Golden State Grizzlies, those Grizzlies out of the Bay Area, played 4-1-4, top of the table with 16 points. Silicon Valley, second in the table, played 5-1-4, lost one, 16 points also. We have East Bay Blazers, four matches, 1-3, lost one, 12 points. Seattle Thunderbolts, seven matches played, 1-3, lost four, they have 12 points. SoCal Lashings played 4, 1-2, lost two, have 8 points. San Diego Surf Riders played 7, 1-2, they have 8 points. And finally, bringing up the rear of the table, Hollywood Master Blasters, 5 matches played. They've lost all 5, and they are bringing up the table. It's interesting that in this particular division, all the Southern California teams from LA and beyond are all holding up the table, and the Golden State, those in the San Francisco Bay Area, they are the ones leading the current tables. If time permits, I could give you some batting leaders and bowling leaders. I'm not sure if I have time for that at the moment, Leon.
How much you go? Go on, but we want to say welcome to Audley. Audley is on with us, so why don't you say hello to Audley? Audley, good afternoon.
Hello.
Audley.
Hey,
welcome,
good
Audley.
Good evening, Mr. Francis, and good afternoon to you, Mr. Dennis. You've been in California, so it's a wonderful, a bit of rainy day for us here in Connecticut, and I must say where I am, it was just like some regular rainfall. No flooding reported where I am right now, and for some areas they got up to 6.5 inches of rain, you know, from the they call it depression that came our way. And I'm watching the news right now, the volume is up, but it doesn't seem to be too devastating. Maybe I need to catch up somewhere. I've been following it a lot, but everything seemed to be normal, at least where I am, everything seemed to be just normal. All right, and let me say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to our friends listening in all around the world, and we are sitting in, of course, ready to have another wonderful, wonderful cricket show this evening.
Yes,
Marubi's doing fine. Marubi's doing fine, away from you know her permanent friends, those pains and aches. They're always going to be around. Okay.
No way.
Thank you, Audley.
Okay, go ahead. Why don't you go ahead? Right ahead.
The Pacific Conference batting leaders currently are Andres Gooch at number 1, 7 matches, and he has a total of 273 runs. Number 2, Jacobus Pinar, 249 runs from 6 matches. Willem Ludick, number 3 in the table, played 7 matches and has 219 runs total. Number 4 in the table, we have Marty Kane from the San Diego Surfers. He's played 6 matches. He has scored a total of 216 runs. Number 5, we have Ryan Scott. 6 matches, he has a total of 206 runs. Number 6 in that table, we have Sri Krishna A. 7 matches, total of 198 runs. Number 7, Shihan Jayasuriya, 5 matches for 192 runs. Number 8 is Nitish Kumar, 6 matches for 186 runs. Number 9, Rayan Khan Pathan, 6 matches, 167 runs. And number 10 on the table, we have Cody Chetty with 166 runs from 5 matches. Those were the top 10 leaders, batting leaders in the Pacific Conference. And I have the top 10 bowlers in the Pacific Conference, starting with number 1, Kartik Gattipalli. He has 13 wickets from 7 matches. We have number 2, Usman Rafiq, 12 wickets from 7 matches. Number 3, Najam Iqbal, 11 wickets from 5 matches. Number 4, Laksh Parikh, 11 wickets from 6 matches. Number 5, Vatsal Vaghela, 10 wickets from 4 matches. Number 6, Matthew Ford, 10 wickets from 6. Number 7, Shadley Van Schalkwyk, 9 wickets from 7 runs. Sorry, 9 wickets from 7 matches. Number 8, Sarab Netravalkar, 8 wickets from 8 from 5 matches. Number 9, Khalid Zadran, 8 wickets from 5 matches. And the 10th bowler in the Pacific Conference is Abir Chipa, 7 matches, 8 wickets. Unfortunately, I do not have the same statistics for the other conference, so this is all I have for now. We hope that next time round we will be able to share with you the other statistics for the other league conference in the Toyota minor league.
Yeah, I just want to say hello. Thank you so much. I just want to say hello to Phil. Phil is a favorite friend of mine. We are involved with cricket today, Phil, so we just want to say hi to you. Hello. And hope that all is well in your neck of the
woods. Yeah, I heard that Pakistan lost to England.
Okay.
I just heard it on it today.
You'll hear more in a jiffy. You'll hear more in a jiffy. Yeah, Pakistan lost to England. That's long ago.
Not quite.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, sure. Well, West Indies versus Pakistan, the latest score we have is that West Indies are 30 for 2 in replying to Pakistan 302 for 9 with Alam. He was not up to 124, both Craig Bradford and Howell, and they failed to impress the scorers 5 and 4 respectively. So West Indies, with Chase is not out and 10, and Blackwood is also on 10. So we hope that these two can bring us past the hurdle. And you talked a lot about, just a little bit about athletics, because it's not cricket, but we just like to follow the West Indian success. The three West, the Jamaicans as a whole, they just ran away with the first, second, and third in the pre-Fountain Ladies 100 meters yesterday. And coming in at the rear is Miss Alexander. We know who she is, Shikari Alexander. She's just one of those persons that will, you know, light up any kind of tournament. And she dressed up buoyantly. Of course, she was hoping to make an impression, but it wasn't. Okay, so news, Barbados' name has now been rebranded, and they were once called the Royals. We touched up before, right? No. We touched up before, I think we did. I'm a little behind in the news, but India, of course, having beaten England comprehensively by 151 runs in the last test match, and they go into the third test match with their tails up. More on that. Of course, the ICC Men's T20 World Cup are scheduled to begin, I tell you, begin with October the 17th, and they'll go until November the 14th. Some 45 T20 matches will be played, and for those of you who are interested, West Indies will be playing the first match against England on the 23rd, and that's a Saturday, so we have enough time Saturday to tell you the results from the summit afterwards. And the 100 men, there has been a winner of that men's tournament. I think the Southern Brave. Okay. No, I'm not too sure about that, but there is a winner, and later in the tournament I'll tell you about that.
Yeah, the Southern Brave was 168 for 5. And the Birmingham Phoenix was 136 for 5. So the Southern Brave took the championship.
And in the ladies too, the ladies championship would be?
The Invincibles won by 48 runs. Invincibles 121 for 6. And the Southern women, they were 73 all out in 98 balls.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to spend a lot of time this evening talking about the Caribbean Premier League, which starts next week, Thursday. And there are some 6 teams. They have all the squads. We have the fixture list. And we'll tell you all about what's happening over there in St. Kitts at Warner Park, where the pitch is being used every day from the 26th of August to September the 15th, and there'll be 2 matches per day. That's a lot of work, folks. and a lot of work for the groundsmen. I do not envy them one bit, but we're just looking forward to a wonderful tournament. A little later in the show, obviously, we'll give all the teams and hear the various discussion from the various panelists. So that's it for me, and we just call in Audley now with his inside edge. Come on in, Audley. And we have...
Okay.
Wait. Before you do that, Audley, I think we have Donna wants to... Is it Donna? No, go ahead. I think that's fit.
Okay, the inside edge for today, the highest percentage contribution by a single partnership in an all-out innings in Test cricket was provided by Sri Lankans Jawardene and Kumar Sangakkara. Mm-hmm. They added 168 in a total of 216. Wow. Meaning the entire rest of the team made 48. The percentage that partnership presented was 77.78. And that was when they play in South Africa back in Durban in 2000. Right, so that's the highest percentage of partnership band in an innings that was all out. Jawardene and Kumar Sangakkara, 168, 77.78%. Inside edge for you.
Yes, indeed. Great. Thank you so much for that. Well, why don't we just talk a little bit about the match until we have time for the... Because we have time for the... Just let me just bring in Phil and see what he has to say before we tell him that we... Go ahead. Just let's hear from Phil. Phil, good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. And
I have been listening. Baran? What did you say?
Go ahead, Phil. Go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah. I was listening to... I went on Facebook two nights ago, and I was listening to Worrell and Kanai, and I was hearing about that team. This is historical history of cricket, right?
Phil, could you hold on first, and we'll bring you in a little later on.
What's that?
We'll bring you in a little later on.
All right, hold on. Okay.
Okay, gentlemen, let's go right ahead, as it were. Phil is a good friend of mine, but he's not really up to date yet, and you have to bring him up to date and get him right in line with us. Okay? Come on in. Did you say something?
Well, we need to address the England and India match.
England and India. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we know the score. We know that India beat England in that second test. But here is, of course, the inside edge. Audley at the inside edge. But I think this is an inside edge that Audley probably has missed, and I'm sure he would have liked to have found it.
I give just one per day.
All right. Well, I'll take I'll take advantage of your generosity and throw in another one. The inside edge on the India victory, according to Derek Pringle, writing in the UK Metro, the last Test match we're talking about now. During the second innings of England, there was some resistance from the England lower order batters, meaning those players generally recognized as tail-enders. The resistance resulted in a ninth wicket partnership of 89 runs. But of course, the Indian bowlers, in an attempt to dislodge these tough tail-enders, brought out the intimidation factors. Short pitch deliveries and bounces were employed, and to some extent, the intimidation was successful. Of course, during India's second innings, the England bowlers decided to seek retribution and revenge. This resulted in very wayward bowling. England bowlers were concentrating on seeking revenge, thus allowing India to put runs on the board, setting up a sizable declaration for England victory mark. The Indian players during England's second innings was under strict orders from the Indian captain. No horseplay, no laughing, no interaction with the England players. This was strictly serious business. Siraj and Bumrah did their jobs, and England was bundled out for 120 runs. This was the same total at which Joe Root scored 35, and everybody else below Joe Root scored a lot less than 25. India won this match by 151 runs to take a 1-0 lead in the five-match series. And so, oddly, that is my inside edge for you today. And
but, you know,
yep.
With all due respect to Audley, he just give us one of his picks. So
yes.
That could be
yes.
In the future. You'll never know. He'll give you one in the future. One pick in the future. But I just want to draw your attention to that match, though, Miss Dennis. That particular match in which Anderson was bowled by comprehensively bowled. I don't know if you saw it. The left hand, the opening bowler for the second first frame, Iwo, and that ball seemed to have gone through his bat because there was no space between bat and pass. The only conclusion I can come that ball went to his bat, but it wasn't so. It seemed as if he curved around the bat and came back in and dislodged the bail and the off stump. That was one of the best balls I've ever seen. To be honest, I've seen it on thing. I have to ask anybody if they saw the match. And to top it off, Anderson was still posing as if, well, he played a perfect defensive shot. So that's the best way I could describe it. I don't know if anybody else saw it that way, but I was amazed to see how, you know, that guy had a length. The length was good. The length was perfect. And Anderson played a perfect defensive stroke to me. And when he played, he must have gone under his bat, believe you me, because he played forward, and maybe as soon as he lifted the bat up, the ball went through and just bowled it. But there was no space between bat and bat, and no way I could have seen off stump until I hear rattles behind, and the Indian started to salute and run for stump. Boy, it was a
The stumps.
Well, you know, Leon, I didn't see it, but I can think in terms of the perfect Yorker, right beneath the bat and
Maybe that's what happened. Underneath.
And for those of us who saw the Craig Braithwaite out, we might think in terms of something like that fall, because he was just cleaned up by Shaheen of Pakistan with one which went right between bat pad and took the middle stump. It was a perfect delivery, but of course it was also a terrible, terrible defensive shot from Craig Braithwaite. Yeah.
It seemed as if he played across a little bit, though. I thought so. I thought he played across. Because
yes,
what
but that
happened,
ball swung and came.
Yeah, he swung, he played, going, he meant to play down the onside for a single. But, you know, he should have played down the line. If he had played down the line, and obviously he probably would not have missed that. But that's the case. But did you guys think that the West Indies should have batted first? Anybody feel that way?
I'll give Audley you go.
I think we have the firepower with young seals on top of his game, and Kemar Roach, of course, he's always the one that is getting quick wickets, you know. So I think I don't know what the captain saw. Of course, I'm not there, But I think with the performance that they put on in the first test, one might have, you know, thought that the captain with the firepower that we have at our disposal now, you know, would have put the but at least I think he did the right thing. As a matter of fact, I'm supporting him because with the firepower that we have operating right now, and it seems to be doing good holders when bowling very accurate, putting some speed into it as well. Shields, of course, there, and Roach, and Azar Jones is back. I think they try to get the best pitch with the fast bowlers. So I would go along with him. I'm going to back him on that one.
Okay. Leon, my take on this is that I think this was a defeatist attitude from the West Indian skipper. He won the toss and was too afraid to put his brittle batting to the test. The fact of the matter is the last test matches we saw how brittle the batting was from the West Indies. And following on to this particular match, we are also seeing that, you know, there is still a lot to be desired if West Indies will, you know, is going to bring their test match performance up to spec. The thing about it is that England is also in that same type of, you know, slog, because if Joe Root was not playing in the England side, I think that we would see some pretty ridiculous totals from, you know, from the England batters. Remember, Joe Root has scored over 600 runs in this test series against India, and the next two batters have scored 200 plus, and everybody else after that is just about breaking, you know, triple digits and below. So I think our skipper, West Indies skipper, the defeatist way out of this, and that is how I see it. Julian.
To be fair, though, you took a chance. You got 3 wickets down before you can say over and over. 3 wickets got before the Pakistani really made a dent. Made double figures. 3 wickets for 2 runs. That was a perfect start. And he picked a side with a battery of fast bowlers, and obviously they could not follow through with that perfect start from Roach and Fields. And Joseph did not bowl well at all. And of course, we have the other bowlers didn't look so good. I don't know if they picked the right side. I had a feeling that perhaps another batter should have been left out and bringing a spinner, because Chase does not do too well. I felt Cornwall should have played, but the side is what you have to work on with. But with a good start like that, you can't ask for anything else. You've got 3 wickets down before 10 runs on the board, and the other bowlers could not penetrate, and they went on to score 302.9 of them. To top it off, they declared you as well. So what's wrong? I don't know. Go ahead.
One thing to remember, Leon, is that Craig Braithwaite is well aware of Shaheen Afridi. He bowled like a, well, I don't know, trooper, but he bowled very, very well, very accurate, and he was very good when he tormented the West Indies in the first test match. And, of course, he started it again in this particular series, test match. But so I think Braithwaite had that in mind too, that if he had gone in first with Shaheen Afridi coming on the first day, I think he was afraid that perhaps we meaning the West Indies, would be struggling. And I suspect that it didn't go far beyond his mind to think about Shaheen and the other Pakistani bowlers. Back to you.
Well, one more thought, though. I think that he has to learn that thing, that he will be facing top-line bowlers in the future. Why not? You're up 1-0 in the season. You never know. Go out and fight fire with fire. Learn to defend your wickets and learn to make runs on a wicket that is not so pleasant for batting pace bowling. So he has to learn that sometimes you have a bad and some bad, sometimes you get a bad start, sometimes you get a perfect start. Who to tell? He knows he didn't have the chase in his daughter. You go and say, I want 350 on this wicket. I'm going to bat myself out. If some good balls come and get me, so be it. But I would have batted, but he made a decision that he felt was the best for the team. And he had a good start, but he wasn't able to follow up. So, but anyway, folks, we are up on the time when we just say happy birthday to others and say hello to our friends who are celebrating some great occasion. So why don't we just have a little spin and then we ask Audley come right in and do his thing.
We need a little volume here and there. Thank you.
Now it doesn't make much sense. But I ought to be alone again. Anyone who takes a
Yes, happy birthday. Let me go back a little bit with the Jamaican woman demolishing the field over there in Doha. And they did it on the great man's birthday, Usain Bolt's birthday yesterday. 1, 2, 3 again for the Jamaican woman. Great, 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 mm-hmm. great. And regrettably, we have just lost the third wicket, so Rashton Chase is out. And Alzaro Joseph just walked into the wicket as they... I think the night watchman. So, 3 down. So, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's the time of the evening when we take a look at the cricket fraternity and we say happy birthday, happy anniversary. It's time when you can call in as well. It's 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Okay, we start today with entertainer Beanie Man out of Jamaica. He turns 48 years old today. Beanie Man. Yes. Cricket, Peter Taylor from Australia. He's 65 today. Bill Woodfull. He left us some long time ago. Henry Makepeace. He must be a peacemaker. Henry Makepeace, he also played football for England. Kenneth Bam Bam Richards, out of Jamaica, born in Rollington Town. He left us 1995. Rebecca Rolls, from New Zealand, turned 46 today. Katrina Budaikai, from Sri Lanka, 41 today. Austin Cordington, from Canada, 46 today, and Benjamin White from Ireland, 23 years old today. For tomorrow, Mr. Jason Patel, yes, I think he'll be coming out of the 40s. just coming out of the 40s today. I don't know. I'm just playing around. But Mr. Jason Patel, yes, he'll be celebrating his birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Patel. I know he'll be coming. I think he'll be coming on later. On in the program. And Kobe Bryant would have been 43 years old come tomorrow. Kobe Bryant, yes, would have been 43 years old. Sad. Sidella Marley, one of the Marley clans, turned 54 years old tomorrow as well. Back to cricket, Sid Buller, umpire out of England. Richard Ellingworth, also from England, Mark Butcher, Cecil Sam Cook, and Patrick Brown, all Englishmen. Kerry Wemsley from New Zealand, 48. Richard Petrie, 54. And the hardworking George Worker.
Your recording has reached the maximum
tomorrow length.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Can be muted. Okay, South Africa.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
I'll just wait for the distraction to go away.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Okay, now I can go ahead. South Africa, Debbie Hughes and Debbie Carr, two Debbies, and they are both they'll be celebrating their 44th year tomorrow. Brittany Cooper from Trinidad and Tobago, the 32 female cricketer, of course, from Trinidad and Tobago. And we have Savani Tu-Nedu, a female cricketer out of India. She'll be 35 years old. For the 24th of August, is 1980, first floodlight match to be played in England at the Stamford Bridge, of course, the home of Chelsea Football Club, and it was the West Indies versus Essex. Graham Gooch scored 111 in that one, and in attendance was some 11,073 spectators, and Essex won the match on a faster run rate after rain-affected play. Australia 10 Kendall, Wendy Smith from South Africa, Adrian Kuiper, and Ronnie Grieveson from Hong Kong, Jeremy Atkinson, 31, Stefan Kelly from Bermuda, 33, Poonam Yadav, female cricketer out of India, 30, Deepika Sharma, female cricketer from India also, 24 years old. For the 25th, Ken Shuttle, Sussex, he played in some 423 consecutive games for Sussex without real, 423 from 1954 to 1969. Did not miss a single match. That means he's an iron man for cricket. Jim Smith and Arthur Wood, also from England. Secunderabad from Pakistan, 64 years old. I remember when he was a young man when he visited the West Indies then. Then I was a young man too. Shaheed Haboob is 59 years old. Javed Kadir, 45 years old. Sanjay Sharma from India, 52. Vikad Razdan, also from India, also 52 years old. We have Anita Berger from South Africa, 54. Jean Berry Berger from Namibia, 40 years old. Kuldeep Mendes from Sri Lanka, 69 years old. And we have Najal Santo from Bangladesh, 23 years old. For the 26th, saw the sad anniversary in 2006. Sir Clyde Walcott left us. That's on the 26th of August 2006. One of the sad anniversaries. James Harden, basketball player, he'll be celebrating birthday also. He was born back in 1989. Mr. Joe Solomon will be celebrating his 91st birthday. Yes, man that was involved in the runout when the first tie test, you know, between Australia and the West Indies back in 1960-61. Joe Solomon will be 91 years old. Tino, second best. Tino Best will be 40 years old come the 26th as well. Arnold Portugal from England, David Baez, John Lewis, Lane Bosam, and Rory Burns, all from England, will be celebrating on the 26th. Bill Hunt from Australia, Leslie Knightley from Australia also, Eric Davis from South Africa, Brett Schultz will be 51 years old. And Leon's friend, Dr. Leroy Lashley, will be celebrating also the 26th. Dear, happy birthday to you when they come, Doc. Dr. Leroy Lashley. For the 27th, Lisa Hanna out of Jamaica. She was a former Miss World. She won Miss World pageant in 1993. One of four Jamaicans who have won the Miss World competition. She's 40. She will turn 46 years old. And I have Ivel Locke. I'm not sure who the person is connected to, but Ivel Locke, that will also be celebrating. Yolanda Adams, gospel singer. I've got a victory. Yolanda Adams, yes, 27, will turn 60 years old. The Don Bradman also will be celebrating the anniversary of his birth. And the Big Mel, same Australia, along with Dame Hill, both will be 51 years old. And Alex Carey will be 30 years old. Ken Greaves, Mark Elton, Mark Elliott, Sarah Glenn. Well, Mark Elliam will be 52 years old. Mark Elliott will be 51. Sarah Glenn will be 22 years old from England. John Morris from New Zealand, 74. Michael Manson, 47. And Kate Pufford will be 41 years old. Tony Howell from Barbados, 75 years old. Umpire, the late umpire Ralph Gosling, out of Trinidad and Tobago. He left us in 1999. Tony Harris from South Africa. And we have Wayne James, wicketkeeper out of Zimbabwe, turned 56 years old. In one match back in 1995-96, he made 13 dismissals and made 99 in the first inning and 99 not out in the second inning. That's some remarkable figures. Pakistan Mohammed Yusuf, he'll be 47 years old. Leon Virgil is trying to get me. Yes. I think he wanted to bring him in.
Yes.
Susan Bray will be 54 years old. And there's Sonia Richards, Anya Richards, Dana's grandniece, will be celebrating a birthday. And I'm not sure if it's Anya or Sanya. Little blurred here. So Donna will come and correct that a little later. Finally, for the 28th, Bears Hammond, out of Jamaica, reggae skipper singer, lover's rocker. He'll be turning 66 years old, believe it or not. And it will be the anniversary also of the March on Washington. The famous speech by Dr. Martin Luther King, where over 200,000 people showed up. Right, big celebration, I guess, that will be celebrated on the cricket show on Saturday, because it's on Saturday. Dr. Martin Luther King March on Washington, 1963. So back to cricket, it's New Zealand, Tom McGibbon and Murray Parker. Lindell Hassett and Roy Tucker from Australia. The human slingshot, all 5'8" of him, Lasith Malinga, will be turning 38 years old. Cyril Walters from England and Philip Salt will turn 25 years old on Saturday. Ravinder Shaw from Kenya will be 49. Jennifer Grove, female cricketer out of South Africa, will be 81 years old. And Mohammed Nasu Khan
will be 21 years old from Pakistan. That's what I have here. So, Joy, Leon, back to you.
Okay. Thank you so, so very much. Just want to say happy birthday.
Leon, may I take a moment just to welcome our guests, Jimmy Ankusaria and Gangaram Singh, who are both going to be our guests in the next segment of our show. I just wanted them to know if they're listening that we will get to them shortly. And do not be disturbed that we have not yet called on you, but we have some bits and pieces that we need to get through first, and they are next up in our next segment, both Jimmy and Gangaram Singh. We'll be with you shortly.
Okay.
Okay, Leon.
Good. Thank you for that. Okay, just to say, I want to just take time out to wish my friend, Dr. Leroy Lashley, happy birthday in advance. It's on Thursday, 26th. Great friend of mine since 1985. I never will ever forget these, himself and his wife. They made me happy more often than not. And just to thank all the wonderful people. I thought Phil would have stayed on, but he had gone, left us. Thank all the wonderful people who made it possible for us to be here this week, going into our 12th year. And we just hope and pray that the folks will continue to help us along the way. We have some difficulties, but we have overcome them and hopefully be able to carry on for a long, long time. How about you, Dennis? What say you? And let's welcome Virgil before we do anything else. Good evening to you, Virgil. How are you?
Yeah, good evening to you, Mr. Francis. Good evening to all the panelists, and good evening to all the listeners all over the world.
Okay, any birthdays? Anything
you
want to share with us?
Yeah, there is one special birthday. This Marcelo Mason, who's in Jamaica, he just celebrated his 7th birthday yesterday, and I think he's listening right now. So, Marcelo, I want to tell you a happy, happy, happy birthday. And I wish you many more to come and long, 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 long life living. Thank you very much and happy birthday, bro.
Virgil, what is the relationship of Marcelo to you or is he a cousin?
No, just a little friend of mine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
7 years old.
Yes. What about you, Dennis? Anything from you, Dennis?
Yes, my brother-in-law, my brother, his name is Stanley, he's up there in Canada. He has an anniversary coming up in 2 days' time. I wanted to shout out to him, wish them both happy anniversary.
Okay, indeed. And Audley,
I think your brother wife has a name.
Yes. Okay.
Now you're trying to put me on the spot there.
All right. Okay.
Hey, can you use my name?
But we have Donna on. We have Donna on. So why don't you hear from Donna? Donna, you're on. Hello, Donna,
yes,
you're on.
Good night.
Good evening, Donna. Good evening, Donna.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Yes.
To all the panelists over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just have one birthday this week.
You're
and that's my
niece.
Great niece. My great niece Ania will be celebrating on the 27th.
All right.
Ania.
So, thank you. I wouldn't know if it's Ania or Sania. Thank you.
Ania.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She'll be celebrating on Friday the 27th.
All right.
Yeah, and then my son
that
celebrating on the 30th.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Audley, back over to you, Audley. And then
That's all for me for today.
Yes, thank you, Donna.
All right, Donna. Have a great week.
You too.
All right.
Audley.
Maybe... I'm going.
Do your thing, Audley, and then
I'll play. Are you two?
Yes, I'm two.
With your birthday?
Yes.
Okay, so
Maybe that's it. I don't know if Cardinal is on or Ivor is on.
No, nobody else is on.
So I'll just give them a shout out and good evening, guys. Maybe you can be on at this moment. So just a shout out to you, gentlemen. Okay, so just before we go, as usual, just want to give a shout out to our many listeners throughout the world, wherever you are. We just want to say hi, hey, hello. Nice to have you, and just continue to tell other people about us. We are here each Sunday from 6 to 9, and Eastern Standard Time, of course. And for those who are just listening to the archives, you know, everything is in the archives, blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, of course. So you just share it as we go along, and that's it. So this has been the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Wanted to join us next week when, once again, 6:30, we'll be doing it all over again. Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. And let's give me a little time here to play a song for all those who are celebrating birthdays. And coming up,
Mr. Patel, especially to Mr. Patel. Remember Patel?
Patel, yes.
Yeah,
he's not with us.
Part of the crew.
Yes, indeed. We're going to... When he comes up, he's a busy man. He's traveling from New York all over the world. Doing your charity work. And we just want to say happy birthday and thank you. Tell me you are lucky. Gonna me. We wish you all well. Hope that you live to see many more years. Joy, happiness, and success.
Now it doesn't make much sense. But I ought to be in love again. Anyone who takes offense.
Of this section of our show, Orly, back over to you. Close it out.
I think it's my turn, Leon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I already handed over to you, Leon.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, well, we're going to turn it over to Dennis, and he has some special guests on with us. And why don't you tell us a lot about Jimmy? And let me see, if we brought them in. Yes. They are in now, so you can talk to them as if you were talking to Audley or myself. Jimmy,
okay.
And...
Well, Jimmy and Gangaram Singh, Dr. Gangaram Singh. Okay,
hello.
Gentlemen, good afternoon to you both, and so happy that you are able to take time to join us this afternoon. We appreciate your time and your effort. And before I... introduce you formally to the quote, I have 2 points to raise here. First, clarify the record, my brothers Edgerton Heath and his lovely wife Mandy, they both hail out of Canada. Secondly, last week we mentioned the serious situation with New Zealand cricketer Chris Cairns, who was on life support and facing major surgery. Well, today I'm happy to tell you that Chris Cairn is off life support and recovering in hospital after emergency surgery in Sydney for that heart condition that we mentioned last week. And Chris is pleased to advise that he has communicated with his family from his hospital bed, and he and his family are thankful for all the support and well wishes from everyone and for the privacy that they have been afforded. They request that this continues as they focus on his recovery. So happy
Great news there for
Chris Cairns, and we wish him continued full recovery.
So
now,
what are you all about?
To my guest, I will first introduce Jimmy Ankusaria. Jimmy hails from Bangalore, India, and has been a resident of San Diego since 1983. He's an entrepreneur, professor, author, and philanthropist. Jimmy played first division cricket in Bangalore and later in the SCCA, that's the Southern California Cricket Association League, until his mid-50s. He led his university team to the intercollegiate cricket title in 1975 and was fondly called Brearley after England's legendary Mike Brearley, who was known for his strategic captaincy and then his batting. As a cricketer, Jimmy has opened the batting, and he was an off-spinner. More than actually playing the game, Jimmy is perhaps known more for being the youngest ever to broadcast first-class cricket when he made his debut for All India Radio, covering cricket since the age of 19 years and 2 months. Jimmy is one of the co-owners of the San Diego Surf Riders of the Toyota Minor League, and back in the broadcasting booth covering minor league games is his passion. He also likes to bring cricket to kids across schools in the U.S. and promoting the game in this country. And along with Jimmy, we have his teammate and fellow comrade, Dr. Gangaram Singh. He's a dedicated cricket enthusiast who promoted the game and all his life. He is a Guyanese and comes from the same small fishing village as Colin Croft, Shiv Narine Chandapal, and Kishore Prasad. At age 14, he was a founding member of the village cricket club and has held several executive positions, including treasurer and organizing secretary. Gangaram migrated to Canada when he was 19 years old. He continued with his cricket activism in Windsor and Toronto. He then relocated to Cleveland, where he represented the Cleveland Cricket Club almost 22 years ago. Dr. Gangaram Singh relocated to San Diego, where he promoted cricket in an entire ecosystem that we see today. Throughout his life, he played the game, work, trustworthiness, fairness, and honesty. Dr. Singh is also a dedicated academic, was Dean of the Business San Diego State University, and is currently a provost of the National University System. So those are the introduction to our two guests, and I will lead by asking, first of all, let's get a welcome from them in response before I ask the first question.
Well, thank you for that, Dennis. Yes, thank you for that introduction, and delighted to be part of this show, and look forward to a little chat with you.
Thank you.
Jimmy or Gangaram?
Gangaram's the one who talks like a guy who's from Guyana, and Jimmy talks like a guy from God knows where.
My first. Okay. Are you going to go first, You want to go first, Benny?
Well, let me kick this off. But we didn't hear from
kick off the Gander. Oh, the Batty.
Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. If you can, if you can hear me.
Now, both of you, I again welcome. But my first question for you is, I see that the San Diego Surf Riders are part of the Toyota Minor League program. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing for cricket, in my opinion. But I wanted to get your impression. What were your goals in the San Diego Surfers Minor League draft procedure? How did you approach the draft procedure for the minor league?
I'll let G do that one.
Yeah, no, I the draft, what we did in this case is that we put first and foremost two of our co-owners who are excellent cricketers, Rajinder Ghai, who played for India, and Ram Madhubhushi, who played college level cricket in India and also first division in Southern Ontario, in Southern California. What we wanted to do was to make sure we had a balanced team, and minor league has several conditions that they use for the draft system. We wanted two things we sort of hoped to achieve. One was that we had a good mix of talent, experience, and youth. And more importantly, we stress that we wanted to be the team in minor league that was the most diverse in terms of nationality. And so we were able to accomplish that with some effort. Right now the team has players from Australia, New Zealand, the West Indies, India, Pakistan. And so we're very excited about where we are with regards to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything to add, Jimmy, or you?
No, I think
what
Gangaram said was very correct. And one of the other things, if I could add, is that we stressed a lot that especially in the first season, maybe even the second, it's not all about winning. It's about putting together a franchise that's a community. That's always been our San Diego, I'd say, culture. You know, we always had people who want to play for San Diego because we have such a fantastic community, and I think that's something we are seeing in our team today.
Leon?
Okay, good. Gentlemen, I'm Leon.
Hi, Leon.
I just have a question to you. Yeah. Spelled backwards is Noel. So, just for little humor. But nevertheless, my first question is, have any of you gentlemen written a book on cricket? Or anything? Well,
that's more Gangaram, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, G. Tell them.
Yeah, no. I'm fortunate to actually work with Bishan Singh Bedi to put a book together, and it's not out yet, but it's Tiger Pataudi actually told us it's a cricket book without any cricket in it. And so for those of you on the call who are familiar with the legendary Bishan Singh Bedi,
he was
and is an individual that almost always does the right thing within human limits. He made some, as you all know, he made some bold decisions over the years, whether it was the Tony Gregg incident, the Vaseline affair, or, you know, the dreaded Jamaican test.
1976.
Right, where the entire team was in the hospital. And
I was at Cabana Park.
Yes, that's correct. And so you would understand that. And so he was an individual who had this gift to make very bold decisions. And many people over the years tried to understand, you know, why would he do that? And so anyways, I had the opportunity to sit down with Bishan over a month at his home in India, and we're hopefully going to come out with the book very soon. And it's it has to do actually with the relationship between behavior, attitudes, and values. And Bishan was an individual who knew what he wanted to do and didn't really care so much about the outcomes of what happened, but he was going to do what he believed was the right thing. And he has done that all his life. And so I joined with him, and hopefully we will get this book out pretty soon to a very large cricketing community, but beyond the cricket community too. Thank you.
Just a follow-up on the question about Bishan Singh Bedi. What is he doing these days?
He's in Delhi. You know, he's of course aging like all of us, and and just continuing to do wonderful things. He commentates and he trains youngsters, and he worships because he's a person of God, and so he's just living you know, a wonderful life.
And my other question before we turn you over to other panelists is, are you satisfied with the performance of your team in the minor league so far?
Jimmy, you want to take that one?
Well, certainly we would have liked to be more on the winning side. We're currently at 2-5. We went into last weekend at 2-2. And had a complete washout in the Bay Area where we lost all our three games and almost, you know, lost our captain for the season. He took a nasty one on the Adam's apple, quite honestly. And so it was not the best of weekends. But other than that, it's a team that, as I said earlier, you know, we're building it, and there's a tremendous amount of talent. Clearly, you know, we don't have the stars that some of the other teams, particularly on the East Coast and in the Bay Area, but I think we're holding our own. I would offer that we're clearly one of the better teams in the Southern Cal area, and it's still a relatively young tournament, so I'm pretty pleased with the fact that we're there. You know, the first games at home, we won one, and the second one, it was really unfortunate. We lost the second one. We couldn't defend 20 runs in the last over, which of course would always lead to the inevitable ifs, ands, or buts. But you know, we could have been 3-4 at this stage, you know. But that's what cricket is, right? A game of glory and uncertainties. And we were on the losing side, thanks to some unbelievable hitting by, I guess, a fellow West Indian of yours, Elmo Hutchinson, who cracked 3 sixes in that last over. But Dennis was there, right, Dennis? You were there at the game, and I think all in all, cricket was the winner, because that's what people want to see. They want to see 2020 ending in some heroics, and Elmo provided that.
Yes, thank you. I saw that game. Can I have a follow-up to that question, Leon?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
To both of you, I've seen the matches played in the not the Bay Area, but the Seattle area, where they were playing on to be artificial turf, possibly with concrete beneath. It appears to me that for minor league to, you know, really take off cricket in this country, that we shouldn't be playing these matches on those type of wickets. What do you say? And I don't want you to be, you know, obviously you might have to be a little political in your answers, but give us as best as you can whether or not you think that those type of surfaces should be used for these type of matches, because we want to develop the game. Go ahead.
Right. Good. Well, I think that's a solid question. Jimmy, if you don't mind, I'll take
Oh, no, it's absolutely you, G. This is your territory.
Yeah, no, I think the way what minor league has done and major league is that they have provided for the first time in the history of this country a structure to play cricket at a high level. And, you know, we have to be very forgiving. It is a startup, and we will learn, and we will make mistakes, and we will see facilities at very different levels. What I admire about what's happening is that whoever and whichever team is coming to the table right now, they're giving it their best effort. They're not They're not just going through the motion. They're giving it their best effort. If you look just outside that field in Seattle, although the ground was at that state, the organizing of it was very, very eloquent. I mean, outside there were tents and there was a lot of people coming out to watch the game. It reminds me, Dennis, of, you know, a technology or when you start up a business, you don't necessarily get everything right from day one, but you have to do it. If you don't do it and you wait for perfection or you wait until we get first-class facilities, turf wickets, stadiums, and so on, it'll never happen, right? And so what happened here is that I think this really pushed and it created a momentum for everybody to now step up. I don't know if you would remember very clearly on this one, Dennis. Remember the days when in San Diego we used to play on a matting wicket, sometimes not a roller that we made out of a cement drum. One of our, you know, Joel made a roller 20-something years ago. And we used to pull that thing, right, and roll the pitch and then put a mat on it. I even remember one time, you know, a team in L.A. described our mat-in because we couldn't afford a lot of stuff at that time. Describe our mat-in as, you know, a beggar's uniform or beggar's clothing in Mogadishu. And that stuck with me. That was about, you know, almost 15 years ago. And we knew that we had to do something. And the same thing, I think what Minor League is doing today, Dennis, is starting something big. And we're going to reflect back on this in 10, 20 years' time. You know, we started with a concrete wicket, one end in Seattle, or we started with a wicket in San Diego that was in a public park, right? And we built on that. And look where we are right now. You know, when we get 8 major league stadium and a bunch of international cricketers and a world-class tournament, we're going to look back at these as necessary steps in developing cricket in the country. Thanks.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, G. This is one of those little baby steps that have to be taken. And at this point, I'd rather look at what minor and major league are doing versus what they're not doing. They're doing an amazing job. I mean, right now I'm on a radio show with you, and on my phone I'm watching the Golden State Grizzlies 101-4. And here I am. I mean, the fact that I'm watching via Willow TV, I'm watching a live game and talking to you at the same time. So I think we've got to give credit to these guys. They're doing an amazing job.
Audrey? Not taking anything more.
Yes, I just want to good evening, gentlemen. I just want to further support what you've said about the starting. I know that in doing whatever project, sometimes if you have to wait for the perfect situation to present itself, you'll never get started. So I think what you're doing there is actually the right thing. Right here in the U.S. Open in Florida, it's going on for 11 years, and we play some of the matches. Some of the matches are being played on not on the turf, but on the mat, you know, on field one and field two. Okay, I heard you also mention that when you mentioned first that you try to have a team that is more diverse, the first thing that came to mind, I said, well, in so doing, you're not going to be having maybe the best team, but then you also mentioned that you're not maybe just looking that just all about winning for the first or maybe second season, but to really represent your community. And I think you should be commended for that. And when you said that, I said, okay, that answers my question. The other thing is, are there spectators? And if there are spectators coming in, are there any Americans, you know, I mean, non-expats, you know, been coming out to watch the cricket play?
Yeah, actually, that's something we're immensely proud of. We reached out to our San Diego community, and yes, we did get people from all the cricketing countries, but also from the United States. In fact, Gangaram and I are on a mission, and I think we're both very, very dedicated to this mission of bringing cricket to San Diego in particular and America in general to the local population. to the Hispanic, to the African American, to the Americans, not just the expats who have come from the various cricketing countries. And I think if we have time, we'd like to chat with you about some of the amazing stuff that we've got started and also in the pipeline to bring cricket to schools and bring up the youth, because it's youth cricket that's going to make the difference in rebuilding that cricket community for Americans, not necessarily for a bunch of people from the subcontinent and the islands, you know.
Yes.
But yes, you know, Greg. To complement what Jimmy said there, it's so true. But we have to make a conscious effort to reach out, because the easiest thing to do is to go after the lowest hanging audience, right? The people from Southeast, from Asia, generally speaking, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka. You don't have to do too much to get that audience to come out and watch the game and support the game. And so that's really not the challenge. The challenge is to take the game out into the community and explain to the community what it is that we're doing, and also to integrate. And that requires a whole lot of steps, right? It requires explaining the game. It requires reducing the cost of the game and so on and so forth. So Jimmy and I will talk a little bit later on about this initiative that we started in the school system here to do exactly that, to shift the focus, not to shift it away, because we want the cricketing countries to continue to support, but we want to go that extra step to include an entire spectrum of folks.
Thank you. We have another gentleman on our panel, Mr. Virgil Francis. Come on in, Virgil.
Good evening to both of you, and I just want to say I'm happy and appreciate what you guys been doing for cricket in the United States. My name is Virgil Francis, and I'm calling you from the beautiful city of Lauderdale. I know you guys are saying what you go through for, like what you have now, so you got to work on it to get up to like a stadium. I was lucky. I live in a city that for years we was playing and matting and all this kind of stuff, and now we have a stadium here, which I'm just like 5 minutes, 15 minutes away from the stadium.
Yeah.
Which we was really appreciate when they build a stadium. My thing is, I know you guys want to push the cricket in school, but what I want to know, and every guest come on, I always explain myself in this way, because there's a lot of people in the world itself do not know the history of cricket, because people believe that cricket is not an American sport, but we also know that anywhere the British goes, cricket is played. Cricket is played here from the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
One of my statements to you guys, when you go out and introduce especially American kids to cricket, you have to let them know this is their history, because when we was building the stadium, we have that same problem. There was three guys inside there every day before the stadium was built, was complaining about Caribbean people and cricket and cricket. And be honest, one day I went there, I was nervous. I could not speak. I get the history of cricket, and I give it to a lady to read because I was nervous. The next week I go back because they wanted to stop the stadium that they was building. So the next day I get up and I go and I explain myself. I say cricket is not a West Indian sport. Cricket is the largest watch event in the world. It was established in the United States in the 1700s. I said, baseball came from cricket and rounders. The name of the president of the United States have right now, John Adams, who became the second president, said if leaders of the simple cricket game could be called president, there was no reason why the leaders of the new nation could not be called the same. And if you ask a lot of people where that name president come from, they would not be able to tell you of cricket. And the greatest achievement that the U.S. ever achieved, that's when they used to play a four-day game, they beat the West Indies. I think the game done in one day. They out the West Indies for the lead, I think it was 19 runs in British Guyana at the time, 1888. after that, they did not like nothing British after independence, most likely. So that's why they get baseball. They make a shorter version and call it baseball. So when you guys go out and you're talking to these people, let them know, because what happened at the same meeting at the stadium, when I read that the next week, the same guy that was criticizing Caribbean people and cricket, because you see more Caribbean people playing it, never said another word, because you know what happened? He went home and he looked up his history and he was shocked to know cricket is part of his history that he did not know, and he was trying to kill it. So we have to let these people know all this thing about the history of cricket in the United States. And I think that would get a lot of people, especially the younger kids, more interested inside of it to know that is part of their history. Because most of them believe it's a foreign sport. They don't know nothing about it. But we all know where it started.
Yeah. Very good.
Even
thank
the
you.
First
thank
international
you.
Game
yeah.
play was in New York, yeah. 1844, and that's what started up international cricket, 50 years before the Olympic.
Virgil, thank you, you know, for bringing that up, because last, you know, just a few days ago, I think it was on last Thursday, I was, for the first time, introducing cricket to a middle school right here in San Diego. And, you know, I had 110 children aged about 11 and 12. And I asked them about, you know, which sport did they think was the most watched sport, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said, do you know which was the first international cricket game between? And, you know, they thought it would be England and things like that. And I said, no, the United States versus Canada was the first
yes.
ever international team, international game. So, yeah, thank you for, you know, endorsing that. And absolutely right. People get very proud now when they realize that we were actually part of the founding, you know, countries for cricket. So, so yeah, it's interesting
Virgil,
to bring that bit of history out here.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Virgil, the story that you just told, it's not the facts are the facts. What I enjoy listening to you is the passion. And I think, you know, I could, on a radio show, and I'm listening to you out here in San Diego, and I could feel the passion for the game and for the community. And, you know, we have to reinforce that in our own community. I am still, I'm not disappointed, but I am challenged by the loss of that incredible passion that I just heard from you. And so how do we instill that back again? I'll tell you right there, and Jimmy would back me up. You know, we used to have a thriving West Indian community playing cricket here in San Diego. And I
yes.
think, actually, Dennis can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm the only person right now from the West Indies who's playing cricket in San Diego. So we have right in the cricket playing communities, we need, Virgil, that passion of yours back in our
mm-hmm.
community, sort of drive where we go with the sport. And thank you for reigniting that in me, actually, because it made me feel good the way you talk about the game.
Very
can
true.
Can I put one question in? One question in there before we get Mackenzie up. To both of you, can you just give us a quick synopsis of how the San Diego Cricket Club came into existence?
Well, I guess, G, do you have that background? Because you came
yeah.
in a little bit later.
Yeah, no, I did. And so, you know, many people have asked me that question over the years, Jimmy, and I can tell you the last 22 years what happened. But,
no, I can go back a little longer than
right.
that.
Right. And so Jimmy,
I'm happy to
right.
help with that.
So, Jimmy,
yeah.
if you want to do that then, Jimmy, why don't you take us up to about, you know, the late
90s. Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah. So, in fact, my personal engagement with San Diego Cricket Club was in the early 90s, and I was very disappointed because I understand that we had cricket here since the late 80s. But the people who were responsible for bringing cricket to San Diego actually were a few people I'll name. One was a guy named Shabda Roy, And I think, Dennis, you probably have met Shabdev, God bless his soul.
Yes, I remember
and
him.
Another person from the islands themselves was Charles. And Charles and we had a lot of West Indians, as Gangaram was talking about, a lot of West Indians and a few of the Indian guys out here. We started by playing at the University of California, San Diego, on what used to be called Chargers Field. Beautiful ground on which the San Diego Chargers practiced during the off season. So that's kind of when we started. And initially, I know Gangaram would be pretty disappointed that he's the only one from the islands here, but we had a phenomenal group of people. In fact, our captain was John Morton. This was all in the early 90s. And we had people like, Patrick Bailey, and I'm sure, Dennis, you know these people because you were the umpire, refusing to give LBWs. I'll never forgive you for that. But we started attracting people from the community, and it was only in the early 90s when UCSD actually, through a couple of professors, John, what was John's last name? McMillan and Nigel Calcutt, they started posting it on the UCSD. Those were the early days when there wasn't even really the internet. It was an internal messaging system of UCSD. And that's where people like Sanjit Menezes and myself got involved. So what we did was we built this team, which was a phenomenal team. In fact, our pace attack was so fearful. You know, we had four or five people. And in fact, you heard Rajendra Singhai. Raj used to play for India and was recognized much faster than even Kapil Dev. He was really quick. And he was our number four bowler, believe it or not. You know, we had some phenomenal people like Hopton, Barrett, and Benji, and Muriel Merrick. A fantastic bunch of people, really quick. So San Diego became known as this wonderful team because of our team spirit and things like that. But everyone, forgive me, were really scared to play us because the battery of fast bowlers. So in the 90s, we were just unstoppable in the Southern Cal League. And then, of course, I still am very disappointed that we started losing our West Indian teammates. You know, some of them we actually lost. They unfortunately passed away. But they started moving on to different places, and I think then it didn't follow up. But we had some really wonderful people, not just at the first division. I want to make sure you understand. It wasn't just the first division. We had, at one stage, we had three teams playing, one in the first division, one in the second division, and one in the fourth division. And the fourth division actually had a lot more I'd call it the England and Australia, New Zealand, and mostly English guys, and it was more how much you could drink versus how much you could score. You know, people were more interested in having more beers than the number of runs they put up. But it was a fantastic community. And then towards the late 90s and early 2000s, our people like Gangaram got involved, and they've taken the club to not only a huge membership, but a pretty good grade of cricket as well. So we've had a fantastic history. I put us at about, a little bit more than 30 years. So it's been fabulous to be part of this community.
Can we have a bit of an interference here?
Yeah, there's a noise in the background.
Now
yes,
it's
I'm trying to.
Yeah, no, it's on. And Dennis, I'll pick up from where Jimmy left off there. So this is about, I came as an assistant professor, actually, at San Diego State, and, got involved with the cricket scene at that stage. And we had to, we were visitors at the UCSD campus. The ground was, we either get it or we didn't get it. And there was more pressure on the university to use those facilities for different reasons. And so we had to secure a ground if we were going to play cricket. And so we moved out into Penasquitos at that time. And we set, some simple targets for ourselves. And over the years, we implemented it. We sort of did what we could do right away, and then we took on the more challenging task as we matured as a club. But, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was obviously get a turficate. We wanted to get an umpiring structure. We wanted to make sure that, as Jimmy said, we had competition at every different level. And we wanted to make sure that we had, equipment for the fields, rollers, nets. And then we wanted a place where we could practice during the week. And so then we talked to the Gurdwara, which is a Sikh temple. They allowed us to build two nets behind there. And that was an important and critical step because we had a home there. We had a home, a place that we could go, congregate, bring people, start the youth program, and then grow. We started, our youth program actually started at the YMCA around that time. We used to run, a short clinic. People would walk in, and we had a variety of folks who participated at that stage. Then we had a formal youth program within San Diego Cricket Club. Proud to say, though, today those things have all started to come together, and we now have cricket at the youth level. We have an under-14 team that is competing in Southern California Cricket Association. We have an under-17 team that is competing in Southern California Cricket Association. We have a Division II team that is competing in Southern California Cricket Association. We have a Division I team that is competing in Southern California. We have a minor league team now, which is a professional team. So we have, and locally in San Diego, we have over 24 clubs playing cricket now across the city. And so we have seen, as Jimmy said, the days when we used to have 7 and 8 players on the campus at UCSD, we now have thousands of players and their families playing cricket on an active level in San Diego. So it is an example of how you can grow a very small program into an entire ecosystem, and enjoy it all along the way.
And Gangaram, you also could mention here that we've even expanded our youth program, and we've now got about 12 girls who have joined us, and we hope that will expand as well. So we're really reaching out, it's so fabulous to watch the support we get from the parents. They've been absolutely outstanding.
Dennis, we have Mr. McKenzie. He hails from Texas. Mr. McKenzie, any question for the guest, our guest, Jimmy, and Mr. Singh?
Mr. McKenzie is muted, I think.
I think he is? Let me see.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I think we had some noise from his end.
Okay.
Mr. McKenzie, you're in.
I was just wondering, how is the local media covering your activities over there? Your radio, your press, your whatever, your TV and so forth. Are they giving you any press time?
We did. We had the coverage from KUSI. They came out and covered. But they took the story there was a youngster who had grown up in San Diego and is now a member of our professional team, the Surf Riders. So the story was about this individual who made it. But yes, we are attracting some attention right now, and we will continue to. One of the things, Mackenzie, that I've always been a stickler for is, not to ask for place like the media and so on and so forth. We're not fully prepared to go big, right? And so this is a year, as Jimmy has said earlier, where we're building, and that is part of the strategy. How do we integrate the media in a meaningful way when we're ready? Because sometimes, you go out and you speak too loudly and you're not ready for that sort of attention, and it falls, right? And so we just have to make sure that we have all the pieces together and before we bring in that, because you get one shot, I think, especially when you're dealing with media folks. You get one shot at it, but we have also engaged through Jimmy. We have engaged a broadcaster out of UCLA who is also interested. So Jimmy, you want to talk a little bit about Josh?
Yeah, in fact, you know, this is what we really want. Americans who are professionals, and Josh Levin, who's, you know, someone who contacted me, he's been the voice of UCLA, but he's broadcasted Major League Baseball, Major League, you know, football and basketball, hockey. So he's been the voice of, you know, the Red Sox, for example, and he's very excited. So he's promised us that once we get this thing cracking, he would like to join me in the box and start reaching out as an American, telling people why they should be watching cricket instead of baseball. I hope he doesn't get thrown out of the baseball world, but no, I think we will have a great opportunity once we start bringing in, as I said, American sportsmen, American fans, and American broadcasters, and hopefully then comes the American media, which then brings American dollars to support us. But right now, we're not chasing the money at this stage. Many teams, fortunately, try to chase money.
What is the level of your umpiring over there? You seem to have a lot of cricket being played. How are you with umpires?
Sorry, I missed the last part. What was that?
You seem to have a lot of cricket being played over there. I was asking about your level of umpiring. What is that like?
Well, you've got to ask Dennis that, right?
Dennis, I have an update for Mackenzie. For the entire period I've been living in this country, I've been the number one umpire for the area in Southern California, and in particular the San Diego region. So I was always on duty for many of the weekends, Saturday and Sunday.
That's where we met, right?
Yes, that's where we met, in Southern California, Mackenzie.
Yes.
So as a result. Anyway, I have a question for both Jimmy and Ganga. And there's much talk now of cricket in the Olympics. First of all, what are your views on cricket in the Olympics? And secondly, there's discussion as to which format should be the accepted format. What do you gentlemen think about cricket in the Olympics and which format they should play in the Olympics?
Who wants to take
think the T20.
No way.
The 10 over match could be, but I think the T20 gives them more insight.
Mackenzie, thank you. But the question is directed at our guests. I'm asking for their opinion.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, Mac.
Well, I guess, Dennis, we all wish that it would be the 2028 Olympics. One, because we want to see cricket in the Olympics. It's the second most watched game in the world after soccer. So certainly from a television point of view, it would be in the interest of you know, people to have cricket in the Olympics. The 2020 format at this stage, I mean, if it's T10, you know, that's another topic, but clearly you're not going to have, you know, one-day internationals and things like that on such a short period. So that would be the thing. But I think cricket does have a pretty good shot at the 2028 Olympics, and nothing better than that particular, not 2032, because 2028 is right here in Los Angeles. And for us, it would be the greatest, you know, injection of enthusiasm if we can get the American people watching cricket played in their own country. And I think Major League will be pushing very hard along with the ICC for that. Gee, any thoughts on which format?
Yeah, no,
of the game?
It's a good question, I think. And let me emphasize, in addition to the Olympics, of course, cricket should be in the Olympics. There's no doubt about it. I'll get to the format in a little bit. But the other thing that is equally important is to get cricket into the NCAA system. And that is the college system. Because if you look at American football and American baseball and most sports that end up going at the highest level, it's through the college system. Shot put, athletics, the majority of sports come through the college system. And you can, of course, you can be in any sector in society and be a spokesperson. But it provides a structure, I think. And cricket will, well, what is happening right now in the United States is that you have a lot of good young cricketers, and around the age of about 18 or so, they drop out of cricket. And that's the age that they go through to college. And so what happened is that there's this belief that they can't balance the two. They can't balance cricket and school. And so I can tell you tens, even at hundreds, of cricketers who I can identify in this area. But that needs to be also up there, Dennis. But coming to the Olympic and which format, most people, as Mackenzie said, and I think I'll be in the minority in this group, I think it should be a minimum of one day. And the reason I'm saying that is because cricket is a very skillful game. Cricket is not a game of chance, right? And the T20 format has introduced a lot of chance in the sports, right? And it doesn't allow enough time for a skillful athlete to practice his or her art, right? And you know, that's something that yes, T20 is entertaining. Yes, T20 is going to attract the American audience. Yes, T20 has all the blings and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, it doesn't allow skillful cricketers to be on an equal playing field and display how good they are at what they do, right, from a sports perspective. So I would say give each country a chance to display the hard work that they have put into cricket in terms of preparing for the Olympics. But I know I am a minority view on this one.
Mm-hmm. Just to follow up, how would you go through the process of eliminating? Would you want to
see
teams at the end? Two teams at the end or four teams? And would you think that it would be played in the day or in the night if it were one day cricket?
It depends on where it's played. So when you in these cricketing countries right now, you have the really first-class stadiums, and you also have the ability to control conditions to a large degree. You can cover the pitch the night before, and you can actually do the day-night sort of stuff. If cricket is in the Olympics and it's in LA, they're going to have to distribute the games across the country, I think, right? And more importantly, they're going to have some elimination across regions and so on, so forth. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the United States, and if we're going to play those games in the United States, it puts very few facilities up there. The one in Fort Lauderdale that we heard about earlier, the one in Prairie View.
Can I interrupt? One second. Can I interrupt?
Sure.
Please, it is not, you're giving the wrong city credit. It is not Fort Lauderdale, it is Lauderhill.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that.
Credit.
Sorry about that. My bad. Sorry about that. Yeah, and so, and in LA, but what could end up happening by then is that you'd have places like San Diego, Bakersfield, and so on and so forth that will have pretty good facilities, the Bay Area. By then, we'll have pretty good facilities too. So you can have a very competitive. And in terms of elimination, the World Cup version is one route, right? With the associate nations, that's one route. But it's going to be interesting because I always somebody asked me about the West Indies. In fact, my son asked me the other day. He said, "So would Guyana be in the Olympics?" And I said, well, I don't know. West Indies can't compete as one country. So who knows, right? What will happen? Do they compete in the Caribbean and then in the West Indies? And then whoever wins, they get advanced. They're going to have to figure out that structure, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, Barbados is sending, the West Indies are sending Barbados lady. to the Commonwealth Games, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the next question, is it going to be only a men's game or is it going to be men and women? You know, if you have hockey as soccer is the men and women, so what about the women? So I think we have to consider that as well.
Gentlemen, permit me to bring in Simon O'Brien. He's one of our foundation member of this cricket show. Simon, he hails from Montserrat and he plays a little cricket with Middlesex junior team. Simon, we have two wonderful
and
people.
Hello, good evening,
Simon,
to you gentlemen and ladies.
Good evening.
Hello, Simon. Leon, Dennis, Cardinal, Audley, Virgil, Mr. Patel, Jetner, Ivor, Henry, Mr. McKenzie, all
thank
our
you.
Faithful listeners all over the world. I've heard two speakers I haven't heard before. I'd like to be introduced to them to let us know who those speakers are, and then we continue from there. I'm Simon O'Brien, born in the island of Montserrat, Caribbean, went to England as a teenager to be educated, and played for a club in Middlesex, England.
Yeah. Could you... You have a question, Simon, and we'll just let him wrap it. Do you have a question in the meantime? Anything that you have on your mind? We have two guests out of San Diego. One is Jimmy, and the other one is Gangaran. He was born in Diana. And they are members of San Diego Chargers, or Surf.
Surf Riders. It's the Surf Riders.
Surf Riders, that's right. They're playing in the minor leagues now in the USA. Any question for Simon?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Any question?
Leon, I'll take it again with another one if Simon has another question.
I've got a couple more when you're through.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My next question is back to the minor leagues. How many teams from this region that your team is involved in is likely to earn a spot in the next round? And what is the farthest distance the Surf Riders will travel during these opening rounds of the matches? Is it just from San Diego to San Francisco, or do you travel elsewhere?
No, we have our games. We play in the Pacific Division, and we have seven teams, Seattle, one, three in the Bay Area, and three in Southern California. Two of those will advance. The top two will advance. The farthest we'll travel is actually Houston. So we have one out-of-league game, but the rest are within our division. So we traveled, we went up to Seattle, we go to the Bay Area twice, we go to LA, and then we play a couple of games in San Diego, and then our away game will be in Houston. Jimmy, did I get that right?
Yeah, you sure did. And, right now, it's impossible, Dennis, to think about who's going to advance, but clearly the three Bay Area teams seem to be leading the charge right now because they've been destroying everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And
again,
it's a question, and someday we'll figure all this out. It's a question of how many professionals you have on your team. And as I said earlier in the conversation here, we decided that this year we will just focus on team building and not really go paying big bucks for professionals.
Okay. What are the ground responsibilities where you guys are located? I mean, I know it's a public park, but what are the responsibilities you have as a cricket club for the ground, and how much help do you get from the local authorities? And tell us about the challenges you both face in running not just three division teams and a minor league team and thinking about a major league team. What are the challenges?
I think that's definitely a Gangaram question, since he's been very instrumental with the grounds.
So, yeah, very good question. And as you're asking that question, my hair is turning gray because of all the issues that we have to deal with over here. But no, the city has been actually very cooperative. And at the beginning, it was challenging to get the city feel. But once we were in, I give full credit to the community, the baseball community, the soccer community, the softball community. they really embrace cricket. And let me just give you an example, right? And you're all cricketers, so you know the sanctity of the pitch, right? And you can't have people running on it, especially soccer players, right? They really tear up the pitch, right? And I was pleasantly surprised when we put in a turf wicket, which we paid, you know, pretty close to $15,000. We had to ship the clay in from Sacramento and use an ICC curator to sort of get it up to where we needed to get it to. A lot of investment, and I watched it, or I'm watching soccer wouldn't step on it, right? They wouldn't sit on it, and they drew the lines just to make sure that they don't go on the pitch. So very, very good collaboration. But it is a city facility, and we have to play multiple sports on it. We sit on a recreation council, and the recreation council has a sports council. And so we meet and we talk about which days we'll use the field. The good thing about it is that field is now totally dedicated to cricket every Sunday throughout the year, which is a tremendous gift from the city to us. In terms of preparing the wicket gets cut every Friday by the city. The entire field, and they vacuum the grass or whatever it is that they do to get it out. And then we have a curator in San Diego, a fellow West Indian who treats the pitch as his child and takes care of
the diploma.
With a lot of passion. And so we bought a 1-ton roller. We have the watering system set up, and we have volunteers who go and water it during the week because we are in San Diego doesn't get rain, and so we have to water it, you know, at least 4 times a week. The youth team, they go out to and help to water it. So we have a schedule, and we have Wayne Copeland is his name, Trinidadian guy who puts in a tremendous amount of effort in terms of preparing the wicket on a weekly basis. So that's the dedication that we have. And you have people like Dennis who have umpired the game for years and years
for
and
free.
Years.
For free.
That they were doing. Yeah?
Without any compensation.
It's a tremendous amount of effort. Tremendous. Yeah. I wouldn't even think about, you know, the compensation in these. It's just getting up and getting out and doing something for the sport. And not looking back. That's what I like. And, you know, I've been involved with cricket, the president of San Diego Cricket Club, for almost 22 years now. And what keeps me coming back is people like this, right? You want to see when people come out and give of themselves, it provides the motivation for us to sort of continue, and it's growing, and it's going to get better and better and better.
Question for both of you. How involved are the ladies? And do you foresee ladies being involved with the minor league in teams?
Wow, that's a good one. I think we have to be realistic. In terms of minor league, I would hope that they have this in their, you know, in their sights, because, you know, that's 50% of the population, right, of any city or any country is women. So we definitely want to see that. I think we have to give minor league and major league a chance to get the men's stuff going. It's a challenge in itself. But shouldn't be that long, particularly if we have, you know, youth cricket opening up to boys and girls. And once that happens, it's just going to be a matter of time before you have an under-19 women's tournament and then, you know, a minor league. So I think we've got to give them time. In terms of ladies, I'm not sure if the question was only about cricketers, but I can tell you in San Diego, our community, the women have been unbelievable. I mean, we've got moms. If you've got soccer moms, you certainly have cricket moms.
Yes. That's
and
what I was
they are unbelievable in helping us. I quite honestly cannot imagine what youth cricket would be in San Diego without the help of the moms who organize things. They are constantly, taking on responsibilities that if it weren't for them, I can't see our youth cricket program being where it is today. And I'll let Gangaram add his part as well.
We should aspire, and I think, you know, that's why we're proud that of the 12 girls who have joined our youth program. But I think it, for this audience, especially for my West Indian friends and this audience, you have to understand the way cricket is set up in the United States to understand whether women's cricket will take off or not. So the minor league is run by a company called ACE, the American Cricket Enterprise, and it's a private establishment that works closely with the USA Cricket, which is the national body. So it's like CWI, right?
Yeah.
And so the USA Cricket is responsible for the promotion of cricket across the nation. ACE, on the other hand, has agreed to help spread the T20 version of the game. And so I want to also take this opportunity to say that what ACE has done is actually put a little bit of momentum behind USA cricket. And recently we saw the women's tournament in the United States that was an incredible success. And my hat's off to USA cricket for pulling that part of the game. And so I think the beauty about what minor league is doing and eventually major league, because in 2023, we're going to have a major league cricket tournament in the United States.
Okay.
What that is doing is it's fueling the growth of cricket in every single way. You know, even the first division teams now are getting better because they have this infusion of cricketers. So it's building, and a combination of USA Cricket, Major League Cricket, Minor League Cricket, Club Cricket will provide the momentum that we need for both men and women's cricket.
Yes, Audley?
Yes. let me ask a question. You just mentioned something about having a Major League 2023. Will it be a system where... just like the English soccer or most, you know, other soccer tournaments, you're going to have promotion and demotion once that is established. You have a team from the minor league will be going up, or is it that a part of the minor league team will be forming this major league team?
Very good question, I think. I am not going to claim to understand the entire structure, but I think the major league will be these franchises across the nation.
Okay.
Probably the big markets will get these teams. I know because it was announced in the media. LA is the only team that I'm familiar with. So LA was purchased by Shahrukh Khan, who is the owner of the Calcutta Knight Riders and the Trinidad and Tobago Knight Riders. So that's the team that I know about, but there will be others across the nation. I'm hoping that what you're aspiring for there of a promotion, the motion system of some sort, that will be filtered into. But whatever it is, whatever form it takes, it is big cricket coming to the United States.
That's great news, man. That's great news.
Right. And I think it's just a matter of time before the big money. See, the thing, unfortunately, with cricket is you've got passion that fires things up, but it's big money that takes it off, you know. It's big money. And I think once the U.S. Sports marketing companies see the potential of cricket, then you're going to see it, particularly as Gangra mentioned, and I'd like to go back to it, even before minor league and major league get to levels. Major League obviously will bring in a lot of money, but it's NCAA type that's going to really bring big money, because universities, as you know, in the United States are quite different from anywhere in the world, because the amount of money that goes into college football, college basketball, etc. If you see cricket beginning to fire up at NCAA level, to the sports marketing people, this would be really cheap, if I could use that term, because they're going to get in very, very early and very inexpensively. So I think there'll be a lot of eyes on cricket once we start monetizing.
Wonderful. And just want to let you gentlemen know, and the rest of the audience, we are inside the Lawrence Yagaro Hour. From 8 to 9 is the Lawrence Yagaro Hour here on the Cricket Show. Yes, Leah.
And we have two guests, Jimmy, can't pronounce the last name. And of course, we do have Mr. Gangaram Singh out of Guyana. Gentlemen, we have online with us one of our famous member of the panel, Mr. Jason Patel. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him or might have heard the name. Welcome, Mr. Patel. Jimmy?
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Hi, Jason.
Good evening, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I was late because I was coming out of that minor league game and I'm driving. So I said, let me say hello to everybody. And
yes,
let me hang in for maybe about half hour.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
And of course, we announce you and play music for your happy
birthday
tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I just add something there, Mr. Francis?
Go ahead,
Virgin. I personally want to say thanks to the continent of Asia, members, country like India, Sri Lanka, all those countries over there, because if it wasn't for those countries, cricket would be dying inside this country. Because even though we have the stadium down here, we the Caribbean people really push for it. But I'm telling you something. When we have cricket down here, remember the CPL, Guyana playing against Trinidad. All the Guyanese and Trinidad comes out. When Guyana play against Jamaica, the Trinidad don't come out to watch it. And when Trinidad playing against Jamaica, the Guyanese don't come out to watch it. And for me, I go to all of the game because I love cricket, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a shame to see the CPL was here. Now we can't get no more game because, like, we don't have no attendance. You see, when India and the West Indies played here, which I get to go one game, which it was too expensive. I mean, you're out in the sun and the cheapest ticket was $100. But I can guarantee 99% of the people that was here watching the game was Indian. They come from all over just to watch the game. And the other thing too, all those cricket and minor league and whatever you have, and even in school, most of the kids and the women especially that playing cricket is the Asian community in the Pakistan and all those, because what happened? You see, mother and father, they push the cricket, want to play cricket, they push the kid. You see, we from the Caribbean, we don't do that. I have, like I told my son, I have three sons. I said, man, I always wish I would have come from one end of you guys, because I go to play cricket, and you know something? The other half, the mother, would not want them to go and play the cricket. Because, oh, you're in America, learn basketball. And believe you, that hurt inside of me for not having my cricket, my kids and them learn the game. We Caribbean people do not do that. We're telling our kids, oh, go and play basketball, go play, don't play cricket. So I want to, like, thank you guys for what you're doing, because if it wasn't for you guys, we would have no, cricket would not reach nowhere here. Not for the Caribbean, because we the Caribbean people, we just talk, we don't do nothing else. Most likely, you have a one and two few will, you know, put the kids out there, but majority, like 90%, would not have the kids playing cricket here. So for you guys, I just want to thank you guys so much so we can have good cricket in this country.
Well said.
Dennis?
Okay, yes. Earlier, Jimmy and Ganga mentioned that they had some items they were building on and they want to share with us. I'm wondering if they have already done the sharing, or do they require a few minutes to, you know, give us what they promised?
No, Dennis, I think we've done, but thank you so much for having us on the show. It was a pleasure, actually, to discuss with such passionate people participating. The one thing that we wanted to talk about was the growth of youth cricket. And I think Jatin is actually quite a good guest for that, because I've been following his work for a long time, Jatin Patel. Yeah. And so he is in a good position to explain what needs to be done in this country to promote youth cricket. So that's it. Jimmy, you have any last minute thoughts?
Yeah, well, no, but we have some more questions for you.
No, I think...
Okay. Yes. I was very concerned about Funding for right. your club. How do you get it funding? Are you your members pay dues, or are you getting anything from me?
Jimmy, are you still on?
Yeah,
Do you want to take that one?
Well, in terms of funding, there's two things. One is the funding for the club, the San Diego Cricket Club, and the other is, of course, the funding of the San Diego Surf Riders.
You got it.
All right.
So let me take the San Diego Cricket Club one, and then I'll turn over to Jimmy for Surf Riders.
Sure.
San Diego Cricket Club is a membership club. We try our best to keep it to about $350 a year per season, and we have some support from the community. But one of the things that we have done to reduce the cost of cricket to cricketers is that we created what is called a patron member section, and so it's a 10 at $1,000 a year. And so those are diehards who have supported the clubs over here. Jimmy is a patron member, and so on. So we have 10 patron members, and then we have individuals who pay a membership due. We were able to get the umpiring, the food, the league fees and everything, a budget there, and we then make sure that we back out the patron members, any sponsorship, and what's left over, we allocate that to the membership. And so we've been able to promote cricket at a very low cost to players who want to play. Jimmy?
Yeah, on the Surf Riders, remember, this is not a club, it's a franchise, so we have to pay our players. We've got a lot of travel expenses for the club. It's pretty much driving up and down to Los Angeles. Nobody gets paid. Nobody even gets to reimburse themselves for the travel. So our budget for the Surf Riders is around $100,000. So for us, it's all about getting sponsorships. And this year, we're finding it a little difficult. So some of the, owners have had to throw in a little bit more. But we're hoping that, we'll build this community, we'll get a lot of publicity, and hopefully, we'll be able to get more sponsors to jump in when they see the opportunity that lies ahead for minor league cricket, particularly sponsoring and supporting a San Diego team. So, I do want to give a shout out, to some of our sponsors, particularly our lead sponsor, Westpac.
Go right ahead.
As I said, we've just got a very, very few, Westpac being one of them. We've got, Metroflex Gym, and Brian Deere's financial has been very helpful for our youth cricket. We've also got MCP, which is, again, one of our owners owns that. And then we've got, Ganga, we've got one real estate company as well, right? But we're certainly looking for a lot more. And I hope, any generous person out there who wants to support San Diego will chip in.
Mm-hmm. The Hollywood Masters, are they out of Florida or out of California?
What's Master that? Blasters is out of Hollywood. It's Hollywood
Master
Blasters. Yeah. Hollywood,
correct,
yes, okay. Okay, so they don't have that. I thought they were coming from Florida.
No.
Okay, those are my questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Roger,
I have.
Were you coming in or Jim? Were you coming in, Dennis?
Yes, I have another question.
Yeah, go.
I can throw
go
in
ahead.
Here.
Somebody was
trying
to come in.
Tell me, what is the average age of your draftees for the minor leagues? And did you draft any minor league young players from within your, say, the San Diego area or the San Diego club, or even from outside? The youngest one, did you draft any minor league young players and the average age?
Yes. Well, there's leagues. The minor league has rules for one under 19 and two under 21, I think. So they have to play in every game. And yes, we did. We drafted one from Northern California and one from our academy in San Diego. The other one, because we wanted to show that there was a pathway, but he's also very talented. So I shouldn't say that because he's from San Diego. He is very talented and he earned his spot as a draft. And so that's how it worked. The average age, I will guess, maybe the mid-20s.
We do have a few in their early 30s. Our captain is in his early 30s. We've got a couple of people who are like 36, 37, but mostly I would say they are in their early to mid-20s. We've got a lot of very exciting young people, and I think that's how we're going to build this team.
So let me use this opportunity. So minor league had some rules in terms of the composition of the team. And I am not the best person to explain them, but I'll take my, because you don't have an expert on here, I'll take my guess. So there were like a wild card player, two marquee players, X number of local pros, meaning they have played for the country, and then you have amateurs, right? And then you have the youth players. So and you have your roster, you have to put it together like that, right? And so what a lot of teams have done for the wild card and the two marquee is that they have gone and gotten pretty high-level cricketers, like Unmuk Chen, just the guy who captained the India.
Yep, he's batting right now. He's on 10 on 18 balls.
Right. And so you have him. You have Sujit Gowda, who played almost played Ranji. You have Sami Islam play for Pakistan. You have Shyam Jayasuriya. You have, and on the East Coast, you'll have a whole bunch, I'm sure, of West Indians that are mm-hmm. in that back too. But that's how you have the minor league sets up the conditions, and you have to be able to fill those conditions. Our wild card in San Diego is a Guyanese. He played for Guyana and currently playing for the Canadian team. His name is Dylan Halinger. So he is our wild card at this stage. So that's how the teams are put together.
Thank you. And do these players all, I mean, given that you've got, what, a month or so, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months of minor league games, all these players from outside of your region, do they all have to live within this area or do they make
Oh, I wish they
travel.
Could do that, Dennis. No, unfortunately, no. We've got to spend a lot of money flying people in and out. And and of course, if we had to keep them here, then, you know, it's their jobs and things like that that would be very difficult to compensate them for. So unfortunately, at this stage, it's still requiring us to fly people around.
Right. So for the marquee players and the domestic pros and the wild card, they could come essentially from anywhere. But then what happens is that in the region that you have to get players from, they go into a draft, right? And that draft is done a couple of weeks before the season starts. And so that is the stage where they meet the team. So for us, Southern California was our region. And so all the players would register there. You know, anybody, I could have registered, you could have registered, but you have to be living in that area. And then the teams meet and they pretty much pick right from that. And they've established some rules for the draft. So you can't go two in a row, you know, you have to, and then if you get the first round pick in this first round, you don't get the first and the next one and so on and so forth. So they put some rules in place and that's how the team, so you have the goal there, which I kind of like, is to have, you have to have enough or almost a majority of local players in your region. So we have, we have about, Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have about six or seven on the roster of about 18 that are local, San Diego.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think not only are they local, but when given the opportunity, they have performed admirably.
Your players, do they have, you know, the ones you draw, do they have the I don't know whether abilities or can they refuse to be drafted into a particular club?
No, they can't. So if I draft them, they have to go with that team. And you can trade I think there's a certain period of time where you can trade players, but once you're drafted, that's it. So what the teams do? They talk to players before to make sure that they're okay, you know, that if they get drafted. You don't want to draft somebody that doesn't want to play for you, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talking, with players, and then a discussion with the team that is drafting about the chemistry and all of that stuff. And that's what Jimmy referred to us in the beginning of our conversation, that this is going to be a year where we're all learning, right? So
yes.
we're going to be in a better position next year and the following year to see what the talent pool is like in different areas.
Okay, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Leon, I think we've
yes.
been joined by Jasna. I don't know if she's
yes,
willing
Jasna,
to...
Yes, we certainly have to bring in Jasna and let her have you.
And
Jasna
is just...
I don't know if she's up to date with... We have two guests, Jasna. We have Jimmy and we have Mr. Gangaram. And they are members of the... San Diego Surf Riders Cricket Club over in the minor league. Perhaps you want to say hello to them and tell them what you're doing from the neck of the woods as well. Jetson?
Okay, yes. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Mr.
Good
Gupta
evening.
And Jenny.
Good evening.
One is Jimmy
and
one is...
Jimmy
and
Gangaram.
And Gangaram.
Jimmy and Gangaram.
Oh, Gangaram. Okay. My name is Jyotsna Patel, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. And I'm a former women's cricket player, represented
player.
India against Australia, New Zealand, and West Indies.
May I ask, which year was that?
Which year was 1974 to 1978? Long time back.
Me. Was that with Shanta Rangaswamy and the Adelji?
Yes. Yes, we are the pioneers. Yes, sir.
Oh, dear me. It's very, very possible that I may have been broadcasting, I forget which year, it must have been 76, 77, somewhere around there, where I was broadcasting at the KSEA Stadium, India versus New Zealand. I'm not sure if you were in that team, but I know that Diana and Barrows at Adelji and Shanta Rangaswamy,
yes,
and she hit
there.
The first
I was there.
Goodness gracious,
yes,
what a small world.
It is indeed.
Shanta Rangaswamy hit a six over
yes.
mid-wicket, and I think that was the first time in the KSCA that a woman had cleared the fence. So I was privileged to be broadcasting at that time.
Oh, how nice. Wonderful. Very nice to meet you, sir, again.
Could you tell them what you're doing in your neck of the woods in Tampa?
In Tampa, I am coaching kids and also some women from University of South Florida and girls. That's what I'm doing, promoting women's cricket in Tampa as much as I can.
Terrific.
Yes. I'm also playing. I'm playing with my team name. Tampa Sunrisers and Willow Breakers. That is from other states. Yes.
Terrific.
Well, perhaps
Leon, my guest promised to stay with us for a little while. I think we may have overshot their time frame. So, you know, we're hoping to have them stay a little longer.
Why don't we give them opportunity to say their final words if they have something that they have on their mind that they would like to express? You want to extend an invitation to them as well, that they are free to be back whenever possible, and just make a contact with you, and then we'll make a way for them. So we're so happy that we have them.
Well, that's very kind of you. In fact, I was going to ask if I can just say a few final words and then turn it over to Gangaram. But
one request of you, though. When Mr. Gangaram, he writes the book with Felix, anything that if it were possible if he could come on the show with him and talk about a book, that's possible.
No, definitely. I would love to do that. I would do that.
And as a matter of fact, I was thinking that we raffle one of his books. We'll buy one, probably buy two, and raffle one to the general public.
Yeah, no, it would be a wonderful thing. So it would be an honor to share the book because we're not. This is something that we want to get his message out. His brand of cricketer is dying, and we need to cultivate more like him for the game as we move forward. So it would be an honor to come and do that.
Yes, tell him for us what the first question that I would ask is how. Went through his mind when he's going to Serbian mission? That's the question.
They're very good friends, by the way, from my recollection. Actually, he talked a lot about Gary Sobers. He talked a lot about his respect for Gary Sobers. He does talk about Viv, but more so about not only an incredible cricketer, but a human being he is. So I remember, and he talked a lot about Frankie Worrell, and about the passion that Frank Worrell shared for the game and his diplomacy and just an all-round great human being. So we'll have to leave that for another day conversation.
Yes. So your final words, gentlemen, your final words.
Okay, well, I've got to get going here, so if it's okay with you, I'll go first, and Gendron maybe can close up. What I wanted to do is to share with you all, you've heard about the San Diego Cricket Club and San Diego Surf Riders and things like that. Yes. Where I personally would like to see us go is the youth program across, as I started my, in the beginning of the hour, talking about getting it into the American system. And so the grand plan that we have right now is to start at the schools, middle schools, and then from middle school move into high schools. We started with 400 students at one school. And personally, I'd like to have in the course of the next year or two to hit enough schools that we have a total of about 10,000 students doing this as part of the PE. So it's not one of those evening programs where let's talk about cricket. We're training the actual teachers, the PE teachers, who know nothing about cricket. We are teaching them. They are watching us teach the first few lessons. We are getting a lot of these Kanga cricket, the kits, and distributing it to schools. So it's a really grand, big plan, and I'm hoping that, as we get into the thousands and hopefully 10,000s, around the San Diego County and spread it into LA and the rest of California and the United States, we're going to build a future cricketing community, not just of players, but also their parents and well-wishers. So we are where soccer was about 25 years ago in the United States. Yeah. And I don't think we're going to wait. At least I'm not sure if I have 25 years, but certainly I'd like to do this within the next 10 years. And I think that's very possible. Maybe Gangaram can talk about the academic side as well, because I think that's that's really thinking outside the box. So I want to say thank you to everyone for giving me this time. Dennis, thanks for inviting us, and to the rest of your panel and all the audience, just a pleasure to talk cricket with anyone who's willing to listen. Thank you again.
It was a delight.
And thank you for coming.
And wish you well in your undertaking. Very ambitious, but I know it's possible.
Thanks, Jimmy. This is Ganga. So I have to run too. But I enjoyed the conversation. As I said, Virgil's passion is what we need. And
yes.
So what I'll leave you with is to stick in cricket for a long time in the administration, dealing with all the challenges and so on and so forth. Your audience just look past the short-term challenges that you're faced with, and look at the game. How do we stick around as staunch supporters and make sure that the game continue to thrive? All of us have a role to play, and the worst thing in this country that I've observed is as soon as things don't go a certain way, we tend to give up, and we tend to form factions, and we tend to because cricket is, you can play it anywhere if you think about it, right? And at different levels. And so what we need to do is to stay positive as a cricket community, back each other up, not try to go around each other, support each other, speak up, respect each other, and the game will grow. Don't walk away. I've seen too many good, passionate people walk away because of minor reasons and sometimes major reasons too. So that's my appeal to your audience, and it was a privilege for you to invite me, and I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. So thank you very much.
It has been a delight.
Can I just say,
and we, go ahead.
Can I just say one thing before they go?
Sure.
Next time anyone make the mistake and misidentify my city, there'll be a big fight for that.
How about if we start a friendly rivalry between Lauderdale in Broward County and San Diego, California? How about that?
Lauderdale.
You got the game. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That would be a good game.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Final word in the audience.
Nice avenue, gentlemen. Like fun? No, nice avenue, gentlemen. I mean, yeah, just nice avenue, gentlemen. I, you know, really enjoy the conversation.
Dennis?
Yes, I just want to reach out again once more and thank both of them, Jimmy and Dr. Gangaram Singh, for taking the time out of their busy schedule to come and, you know, have this little chat with us and tell us about the growth and the development of the game, just not just here in our local region, but their dreams of having the games developed into a national affair. I appreciate that very much. And as one who devoted a lot of my years to cricket, I understand exactly where they're coming from. And they fully have my support. Thank you again, gentlemen, for being here. Thank you, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Dennis, for bringing on this wonderful guest. And I'm sure it was delightful for all of our members hearing from them. Simon, we still have time for
I'm right here listening and waiting patiently.
Time for your question for the panelists.
Panelists are ready for a question. Alrighty.
Okay. Just before you come in, the latest scores, West Indies 39-3. 39-3. Joseph is not out.
Not.
And Mr. Bunner is not out in 18.
Okay.
Joseph is zero from 19 deliveries, but as a night watchman, that's his duty to be in staying the wicket. Go ahead, Simon. You have some questions.
Okay, we are ready. Okay, gentlemen and ladies, South Africa scored the highest score ever made in South Africa in test cricket now. Please tell me the highest score ever made in one test in South Africa, and the follow-up question is against which team? The highest score ever scored in test for South Africa, and follow-up questions, which team?
In one inning, right? You're talking about 1 innings or 2 innings?
This is one innings.
One innings.
Africa score in one innings against which follow-ups against which team?
81 against England.
Okay. Let's go through the panel. I haven't heard from Mills, Cardinal, for quite a while. Is he with us?
No. But okay. You have Simon on, you have Mr. McKenzie on, you have Mr. Patel on, you have Audley on.
What about Ivor?
You have
Ivor?
Virgil on. No, we don't have Ivor, no.
Okay.
No, I'm telling you who all we have. Virgil, you have Audley.
No Cardinal and no Ivor, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. Who wants to answer the question?
I'm going to guess about 649. That's just a guess. 649.
Mm-hmm. Only.
And against I'm which team? I'm going to go for 751.
Against which team for bonus points?
751
against which team against Sri Lanka.
Okay. I was in New Zealand.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's hear you then, Ms. McKenzie.
Mm-hmm. 751 against New Zealand.
Okay. Yes, New Zealand. Okay. Virgil.
I only know the one that scored, and I said I only know the one that scored, I think, between South Africa and Australia, which Australia make like 450 and they chase it down and knock it off. But the test match, don't know.
Okay.
Just
thank you, Virgil.
Your education guess.
Okay. 685 against Sri Lanka.
Okay. Thank you, Virgil.
685.
Do you want to guess Jetna? Do you want to guess Jetna? And Mr. Patel?
Mr. Patel, let me see. Omnish. South Africa. Test. What was the score? Mm-hmm.
No.
700.
No, 705.
No open book.
Huh? No open book.
I don't know. I asked my husband. He knows more than me sometimes.
No.
And against which team, Jetna? Against which team?
Against which team? Sri Lanka?
Okay.
Yeah, my husband says, yeah, I guessed it, actually.
Jetna is disqualified, Simon.
Yeah, Mr. Patel is not with us.
He's been with us. Amrish, my husband, he's been with us, yes.
No.
Simon, I'm here, but to be honest, I don't follow South Africa. How about that?
Well, you got to guess. Thanks. You got to get Jetin. It's your birthday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Just guess, Jetin. Just guess. Make a calculated guess. 500?
I will say the 700 plus against Sri Lanka. That's the only thing I can guess. But as I said, to be honest, I don't follow too much South Africa.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Patel. Thank you.
Go ahead, Dennis. Score about 620. I think Richard scored nearly 300, and Graham Pollock scored nearly 300, and Richard's a good 100, but I don't know it's a game. I'll take a stab.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Okay,
yes.
Is that it, Mr. Panner, Mr. President?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's about all. Like we say.
Okay, I'll reveal my answer.
Have...
My book.
Go ahead.
My book from London says Africa scored 682-6 against England at large.
Oh, no. Nah.
I said 681. Against England.
Yes, that's true.
You didn't say that. 681.
Yes,
education. So we were in the ballpark.
Yes.
Yeah, we were in the ballpark. That's right. We were close.
No.
So you know your cricket.
No.
Gentlemen, ladies, you know your cricket. Okay. Who is going to give me a question tonight? Jetna?
Jetna, you're going to give Simon a question.
Me?
No,
I'm not prepared.
Jet, no, need to go back to her husband and let he ask the question. He give her the question.
Have any question. Ask questions.
Who's going to win the West Indies test?
Who's going to win the West Indies test?
Well,
I
have to say West Indies.
Good question.
Simon, are you sure?
You got only 2 days left.
You got only 2 days left.
Yes.
I still see West Indies against Pakistan.
Miss Team is against Pakistan. Okay.
Or a test? Which one?
Yeah.
Who's going to
yep.
win the series?
The test.
Who's going to the test or the series?
The test. The test.
Okay. The test. Yeah.
And since I came on later, I didn't find out the scores of England and India. Mr. President, can someone go through that for me, please?
Yes. India won by 151 runs.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay. But anybody want to answer Simon questions? Who is going to win? Who is going to win the test? West Indies versus
well,
South Africa?
That again we're just prognosticating because
nobody knows.
We're just speculating. And just our opinion.
So yeah,
come on. Hardly,
you need to go to Google and ask Google. He'll give you an answer.
And then we can, if you have a few minutes, Mr. President, could you run down the West Indies Pakistan score, if you have a few minutes?
Yeah. Pakistan 302 for 9 players. West Indies 39 for 3. And that's the end of the third day. One day was washed out.
Yeah.
Big Captain Barbara Zam made 75 and Alam made 124 knockouts. With run 31. Let's see. Just I know you want to hear the bowling. Kimar Roach 27 overs, 3 for 68. Jaden Seal 15 overs, 3 for 21. Holder 23 overs, 2 for 42. Apparently there got to be a run out because it was 9 wickets.
Yes.
And
yeah,
we only have 8
there,
here.
There
right.
Was, did you say
right,
three
right.
for 21 or 3 for 31? Is it
yes.
3 for 21 or 3 for 31?
3 for 31. 3 for 31.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Three for 31.
Joseph has his first test 100 coming up.
Okay.
Joseph 18 over number 75.
Yeah. No, he's going to make his first test 100 in this match.
Okay.
But
and
has,
the West Indies are how
he
many now?
Scored yet after 19 balls. But I believe in him. He puts a lot of pride in his batting. So he's not
and what's the West Indies score at the moment?
39 for 3, Simon. 39 for 3.
Okay. So we are about even because Pakistan was 4 for 2 or something like that.
They were nine for three.
Yes.
And they came back
it's
to
very,
and
very
made
unpredictable
over
game. Very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Very unpredictable game.
Why don't we take turns now to say happy birthday to Mr. Jaitin. He's on.
And I'd be first to say happy birthday to him and many happy and safe ones to come.
Yes, indeed.
I join that statement, please.
How about you,
Mr.
Jaitin?
Patel, of course, I read that out early in the birthday and anniversary hour,
yes.
And I also mentioned that you finally... left the 40s. You're finally out of the 40s now.
Okay.
Thank you all. And Mr. Patel, I just want to tell you a very, very, very happy birthday. And this one's to be special for you because this one is coming straight out of the beautiful city of Lauderhill. So enjoy
you
your birthday.
Again.
I got to sweeten the pot, you know what I mean?
Yes. And how about you, Jasmine? You gotta wish your cousin or you.
Oh yes, happy birthday, Jatin Bhai, and many more to come. Wish you all the best things.
I promise to ask Jatin a question. Question, Jatin, I hear a team, and they have about 10 Patels in the side. Is that your side in the minor league? Things out of Atlanta. Anybody heard?
It's a party.
It's a family people, but there's a lot of Patel involved in the cricket, right? And minor league, I believe if you look at it, like the guest said, there are a lot of Asian continent people are putting a big chunk in this project, right? There's a lot of owners, mainly from the South Asian countries, and
I will say it's not about Caribbean community or South Asian community. It's all involved together as a team. This is a team sport, mm-hmm. right? And only thing is trying to differentiate, then I will say that these people are putting money, which wasn't done in last 50 years, right? And, we could have done more. And if you hear those two fellows, like Gangaram and Jimmy, they were discussing, like, we need to get united. That is the most important thing we need.
Yes.
And we
yes.
want to make sure that we are all together in this project, no matter what, right? Because what happens here is when the momentum is going up and the good people are leaving the interest, it doesn't help overall. Now, it's, I will say, is like a running chain, and everybody needs to be on board and make sure that we support each other, whatever we can, and just want to establish from this level to the next level. That is what we are looking at. And I will say there is a lot of positive things are happening, let's say this way, and the next 3-4 years will decide how strong we are and how far we are going, right? But the way I look at it, with the development of the new facilities and all things are happening, I will say the better future is ahead, and I can see a bright light at the end of the tunnel, definitely for the next generation. We got to put some effort.
I subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed with the minor league, to be honest. And the way they've gone about it. I just wish them well. Because there is a tendency to start and then stop. But this team is, there is room that it will go on for a long time. There's so much.
And the minor league is really a launch pad for almost every potential cricket out there. And I can add the one big statement here. If the cricket has been changed and the people talking about IPL or commercialization or players' contracts and all these things, it's all happened from that one World Cup final when India won against West Indies in 83.
Yeah.
And since then, at that point, we had I believe ICC headed by the Jagmohan Dalamia. He's the one who introduced the first contract terms and conditions for the international players, including their endorsement, and later on, all these things has happened for two good reasons. One, make sure everyone is involved, and number two, the boards and all cricket authorities need to know who is doing what in terms of the financial conditions, and overall. If we are today looking this big chunk the players are making, is because of those baby steps taken way back in 80s. And now, especially if you look at the US and Canada, and even Caribbean, like almost 3 or 4 franchise in CPL is now owned by the Indians. So what is happening here is at least the money is coming, the big thing, always the biggest hurdle we had in this area, is about the funding. So at least the people are bringing money and trying to help us to put together a good foundation. Now it's a matter of fact, if the more people can involve, this game can expand beyond our all expectations. And that is what right now cricket in USA.
Awesome. Tells me, they say $100,000, spending in their team. Could you imagine the others as well?
That's the budget we have right now. All 27 franchise at the moment, if you look at, I will say every game is costing owner about $20,000 to $30,000, let's say this way, when they are going to travel. Even the home games are usually runs maybe around close to 10,000. The way I look at it, this is definitely giving the opportunity to almost everyone involved. Like the umpires is making money. Let's say scorers are making money. There are commentators all over coming to the game, and they are getting some commentators. May not be the big chunk. And then we still got this live video coverage. Even I was at the game as I'm coaching the Atlanta Brumbies. We had all day this video crew and the technical staff. So it's like giving the opportunity.
Employment.
To almost who are involved in cricket. How about that? It's not just limited to those our traditional league games where the only 11 players are playing and they are the only one on the ground and nothing helps to anybody. over here, it's helping everybody. And now from here, how we expand, how we involve and engage more people, and how we increase the participation, that is the only thing can be our way to improve.
With that said, we're coming to the end of the show. Just want to call on Jetsna to give her final words, a couple minutes, and then Simon, in that order,
yeah.
Then Virgil. Jetsna, your final thoughts?
Yes, happy birthday again, Jatin Bhai. Many more to come. Enjoy
Thank
your,
you.
When is it? Yeah, when is it, today?
It's tomorrow,
tomorrow.
And I'm ready to go out for dinner right now. How about that? Because Monday is hard to get out, right? So Sunday is easy going time now.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
And
well,
by the way, I'm
coming
back
birthday,
from Atlanta to Indianapolis right now. We just finished the 2 games today. And I'm heading home. So we're stopping here in Nashville to have a dinner. And then we'll move on to back home tonight.
Okay. Thank you so
wonderful.
Much. Wish you well. Simon,
up,
your final words. Simon, your final
yes,
words.
Yes, I would indeed. I'd like to say once more, very happy, safe birthday to Mr. Patel. And I'll ask him a last question before I go. Mr. Patel, what's the reason you think that Americans are reluctant to gravitate towards this great game of cricket? I don't understand. They followed football. Well, what we call football, I don't know what you call it here. What we call football in England is big in this country. Why are they not gravitating towards cricket? I don't understand it.
Give him time to answer.
Simon, as again over and over, I will say these American sports are completely different. The engagement of this American community into the sport is for various reasons, the different reasons. The one of the biggest one is definitely what is in for them in a long term. Like, for example, if you're playing basketball or let's say football or something like that, you are making millions of dollars in contract, right? Towards the
yes.
professional sports. Cricket
yes.
has not opened up that kind of opportunity yet. We need to open that window, the pathway, not just
yes.
playing for the national team. It's beyond that. We need to look into the career. The other reason is we have not followed, even today, they are not targeting that route. Route is very simple. Look at the culture, the custom of the U.S. sports. Every player is coming from elementary school or middle school. Then they move on to the high school. After they play 4 years in high school, they are picked by the NCAA, which is the college sports, where they are getting scholarships and heavy amount of playing time to become a pro.
Yeah.
And once you are there, you are making those big money in a professional sport as a drafting. So cricket has to follow the same trend if they want to be here. Okay. Otherwise, what happens is here, there's a lot of young players who are playing right now. By the time they reach college, they are giving up. They are finding different
yeah.
interests. They are looking
yeah.
for either career or different. And that is what's happening in West Indies also right now. If it is
yeah.
not much involved, the people are looking at the different sports where they can. They feel like, hey, I'm more or better happy here in terms both ways, making career, making more money, and
yeah.
having the opportunities. Those are the three key things. And
yeah.
I still convince in my all speeches and whenever I'm talking with the board members or something, I always tell this is the thing we need to look for. If we don't
okay.
create that, then the American kids are least interested to just try cricket, you know?
Yeah, thank you
okay.
so much.
Bridget, your final word?
I just want to say good night to all the listeners, especially those and the guests that we have on the show tonight. It was a wonderful show that we have with them, and looking forward to
yeah.
to see these guys again. And I also want to say, I met a couple of weeks ago, I met this youngster, 26-year-old, a cricketer from Antigua, which was one of those students that was abandoned in Jamaica, like about 30-something or 40-something. Antigua and Barbuda, the student was abandoned in Jamaica from the school, never get to finish the from the University of the CMU University. I just want to wish them all the best, and I hope it's just like abandoned at sea without no fuel. So hope somebody can find a way to fuel these youngsters back, because you know that will mess their mind up. And I just want to wish them all the best.
Good.
If anyone want to see it, just go.
Mr. McKenzie?
Yes, I just want to say thanks for a very, very lovely show. Very good guests we have on it too. The West Indians are struggling at 39-3. I just hope and pray that they will recover and maintain their lead in the series. A lot of Americans are suffering from the hurricane, some from fire, and everything like that. We just hope that things will settle down and life returns normal. So that's
what
I want to say. Thank you for a lovely...
Thank you so much. Dennis?
Yes. Yes, I wanted to thank Jatin for being a valuable part of the cricket show and his contributions to the show and everything else surrounding the, you know, promotion, production, and so on. I wanted to wish him happy birthday. I hope he's still listening. I know he's no longer
on the board. He's gone with the wind.
But he may be listening while
he's getting in the archive.
Yeah.
So I at least thank you. It's in the archive, and I wanted him to know how much we appreciate his great, great contribution. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Also for...
Okay. Audley, final word.
Yes.
Time is running
out.
Yeah,
final word. Yes, sir. Time is running out. So I just want to say thanks for having a wonderful show. Thanks to our guests, and just heard from Ive a little bit. He said he's on his way home from the game. So. Just say good night on behalf of Iva Henry as we go. So, but before we go,
good night, Iva. Good night. Drive carefully.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Thank you
yes,
so much,
Mr. Henry.
Thank you so much. A little song for Jatin.
Happy, happy man.
Yes, good night all. Have a blessed evening. Thanks for being able to have a wonderful show. Good night.
Good night, Liam.
Good night. Yeah.